Orange fans, you played every snap. You showed your orange. But you're just getting started, because it's time for the best post-game fan show in college football. It's time for the Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. The place where the Big Orange Universe from all around the world gathers to talk about today's game. Unfiltered. Uncensored. And unapologetic. And did we mention commercial free? A show of you, by you, and yep, for you.
Yes! Yes!
The most unique fan experience in sports. And it happens right now. Get online at 865-254-02. That's 865-200-5402. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction, the man who's been keeping it real for the Vol fans for a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tony Basilio.
I mean, do you even need any numbers after that? We had a great time down at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse tonight. Do you even need, like, what do you need after that? A team knelt down. Knelt down. They took a knee with a 50 burger on the board. They scored 50 points, and I mean, didn't even break a sweat doing it. They scored 50 points and looked shitty doing it. I mean, do numbers even matter around here? Do we even keep score? The Upward Bound Volunteers. We're the Upward Bound Vols. We're the Upward Bound Vols. I mean, do they even try? We're the Upward Bound Vols. Why bother keeping score? It hurts Butch's feelings. The AYSO Vols. The AYSO Vols. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I mean, Missouri has 4 wins coming into tonight. 4 wins. 4 wins. 4 wins. And they're out there. They got McBride. They're going to get him killed. And I'm talking to Jerry Colquitt at the end of it, and he's just totally disgusted. And Missouri kneels down? Like, a mercy killing. A mercy killing. Butch Jones got mercy killed tonight. The Butch Jones era, I believe, now I don't know this for a dead level fact. Surely they're going to have an announcement tomorrow and announce that he's gone. However, I'm a guy that wanted them to have an announcement after the Georgia game. And then after the South Carolina game. And then after the Kentucky game. And then after even a win last week against Southern Miss. I mean, are you kidding me? And then I have somebody tonight texting me on my way over here, didn't like my tweet about the Haslams. Hey, look, I'm sorry. If you're close to them, I've never said anything about that they're terrible people or they just suck at sports. And sports happens to be what I do. And if that insults you and that insults them, I'm really sorry, but they need to let somebody else do this. Yeah, they need to keep giving their money like they are, because really tonight, truthfully, is a referendum on them. It really is. I mean, tonight is as much about them as it is Butch Jones, because the only reason Butch Jones is coach is because of Mr. Jim Haslam. It's the only reason that we got put through that. And it was a damn cruel thing to do to him. It was a cruel thing to do to our players. It's a cruel thing to do to our fans. And somebody has to say it that way, because that's the truth. That's the truth, sports fans. Bino, hello. Bino, Jeff Henderson, my partner in crime, lo these many years. We're going to get through a myriad of folks on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. And let's get our my man Bino in here. Bino, hello.
Tony B, good evening to you.
Hey, Beanstar.
I think, you know, we saw what we thought we were probably going to see tonight, but what it was is just, it's two teams going in completely opposite directions. You've got one staff that's led their team to a turnaround after a terrible start, and then another staff that's allowed theirs to free fall. And tonight marks of one calendar year of playing awful football. So my question is, if not now, when is enough?
Because the reality about tonight's game is, and we're watching this at the watch party, we're watching the Mississippi State-Alabama game and living vicariously through it. We're watching down there tonight Miami and Notre Dame and living vicariously through that. I feel so good for Mark Rick. He's such a good man. And that's neat to see those kids get on a roll and believe enough to do what they did tonight to Notre Dame. And living vicariously through Auburn today, who had a tremendous season-saving win. Really, it's all we have. Because is there anything worth in tonight's game really, truly breaking down besides that McBride looks like he could be a nice player here with some coaching, and he doesn't know what he's doing yet. But if they keep throwing him out there in that fast break, let's keep running plays as quickly as possible off. Who were they fooling running that fast offense tonight, Bino? They were going to get the hell beaten out of them in that game the whole time. What was that? What was that?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a strange approach, Tony, especially when you've got a bunch of inexperienced linemen that you're using it as well. You know, once again, we saw that we've got a tough-minded group of kids. I mean, we got the daylight speed out of us, but it didn't look to me like we had quit the way Florida looks. But, you know, this isn't high school football. This is college football in one of the best leagues in the land with your head coach making $4.5 million. It's not about playing hard. It's about winning football games. And you can't go up against someone who's actually the lower portion of the league and get 50 put on you. And, you know, Bob Shoup's defense showed their real colors tonight. And we're just lucky that the Hall kid from Franklin apparently watched Edward Scissorhands to get inspired for tonight's football game, or they'd have scored 70.
There's no he dropped three touchdowns. I mean, you said it. He dropped three wide-open touchdowns. Tony Robinson is en route. He was at our watch party tonight. And when Tone gets here, Tone's on his own schedule. Let's go to our first call. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. 865-200-5402 is my number. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, you can do so, at Tony Basilio. And there was no John Curry on the field tonight after that game, I'm being told, by a source there at the game. But the problem I have with all this is that tonight should have never happened. This coach should have been out of here a while ago. This was tone deaf stupidity on the and I lay it right at the feet of the Haslams. I'm sorry, it is what it is. It's their call. I don't pretend otherwise. They have the most money. They have the biggest toys. They have the biggest you-know-what, and they want you to know that. Well, hey, I know that, and I'm going to tell everybody about it because it's their doing. This is their doing tonight. They're the owners of the franchise. Now, their name might not be on everything else. Their name might not be on it. But just like that mess it is up there in Cleveland, it is the same mess here in Knoxville. I didn't make it up. Tonight did not have to happen that way. That's sad. That's what that is. And there are far too few of these college football Saturdays to sit around and watch shit like that happen. It makes me ill to put our fan base through that and those kids and everybody involved. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome into our first call. You're on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, fellas, it's Smitty. How you doing?
Hey,
Smitty.
Let's just put it this way. Let's just be glad it's all over with, okay? I mean, can we not, you know, be excited about the fact that we're moving on? This has to be it.
It has to be.
These guys can't be that stupid.
If this is not it, Smitty, what is the point in fielding a team? I'm going to start calling this place the home of upward football. Outcome-based upward football. We don't keep score anymore.
Smitty, we've now gone a complete calendar year, without winning an SEC football game.
Well, damn it.
When are you going to get on the Gruden train?
Meaning what?
When are you going to start believing that it's going to happen?
You're kidding, right?
I'm not.
Who are our top boosters?
I understand.
Okay, you tell me the last time they made a hire that's commensurate with John Gruden, with pulling him out of that booth and paying him the kind of money that he wants or would command.
I understand that from what I understand, the offers on the table.
Oh,
the
sure.
Right kind of fun.
Sure. And who made the offer?
I don't think it was the Haslam.
That's the point. Because if they didn't offer the money, it does not count. That's what I've been trying to tell you guys. No, you better go that far. That's the reality of this situation. That's how things work here, man. That's how they work. I'm sorry. Shoot the messenger if you want. It's how they work.
I'm not shooting the messenger at all. I'm just telling you that I'm not giving up. Because there's too much smoke, and when there's smoke, there's fire.
Smoke where? I can't find one person, not one, that I've trusted as a source in 25 years, and have broken a lot of stuff. I can't find one person that tells me it's real. I can't find one person that tells me he was on the plane. I can't. I can't find one person that tells me any of that stuff.
Tony, we've got mutual sources that believe there's smoke. So, look,
Mean sources? Like a friend of yours? What is a source? I'm talking about people.
What's a source to you? I mean, seriously, I fully on believe this. A source to me is the same source to you, Tony.
That's not true. No, your threshold has to be lower than mine. I'm sorry. Mm. Well, you say we're talking to the same people. What does that mean? The same people?
I don't believe that. I don't believe that, Tony. But hey, let's just be glad that Presbyterian, the Blue Hose, was terrible the other night, and that we won an Iowa basketball. See you guys.
I mean, look.
Peace, Smitty.
I want the groomers to be true. More Bino. We did a show yesterday, 2 hours of groomers. It was the most fun I've ever had. I did a show last night with a clone. A special live clone cast edition you can find on my Periscope channel. And a text later on at the end of it from the son of an elected official here in town who said that he was being told by big money people, but none of those big money people's last name was Haslam. And here's the thing I've learned. Until they say it, it's not real. I know that sounds harsh, Bino. Bino, am I erring in following them on this? Or is you think that's a wise thing on this Gruden deal?
No, Tony. I don't think you're erring in what's been done here in the past. I think you're probably overly aggressive stomping these into the ground because it hasn't happened here before. Hey, this is as desperate a time as I can ever remember.
No doubt.
In Tennessee football history. And if there was ever going to be an attitude changing time period, this is it.
Yep.
So I'm hopeful. I don't believe, but I'm at least keeping hope that they're as sick of this as I am.
You know what? And I want to say to you that all that's true. Plus, they have their federal trial going on, which weakens them. You have the John Gruden situation with ESPN and ESPN getting ready to make a whole slew of cuts. You have the weakening of the NFL brand that has occurred recently. That's all true. And so I'm hopeful. Smitty goes, when are you going to get involved with the groomers? Smitty, when I start thinking that they're right, I'm going to get on board with the groomers, buddy. But until then, I'm not going to purposefully mislead people into something that I don't think is real. I just can't do that. It's just, it's against my nature. I will not do that.
No, and you shouldn't, Tony, but all we need to do is go back to the clone cast. You never say never.
No question, and that's a good point. And I said that today on Twitter. You never say never. I just said that right now I can't find anybody that I trust inside that deal to tell me that it's true. I can't find anybody inside that thing to give me any validity to believe that it's true. Anybody. I can't. If I could, they say, well, why aren't you talking to the same people Trey is that you had on yesterday? I've been doing this a little longer than Trey. No offense to him. I think he's a pretty good young broadcaster and a quality young man. I've been here 25 years. I mean, I would think I'd be able to find somebody. Hey, and if you want to shoot me on that, shoot me on that. I love groomers. I think it's fun. I think it's entertaining. I think yesterday's show was fun and entertaining. And as I said today on Twitter, for people like Smitty that are extremely passionate about it, it's a hell of a lot more entertaining than what Butch Jones has done to our football team in 5 years of his horse shit. And that's what this is. He should have been gone last year after getting trucked by Vanderbilt. Fact, Jack. And I'm going to tell you something. I've said this about three times this year. If those people have any pride in our program, they relieve him of his duties tonight. Tonight. To the phones we go. Hello and welcome into our next call. Hello.
TB, how you doing, man?
Hey, welcome in.
Bino, I'm with you. I'm still open for Gruden. But, no, the Butch Jones deal, I think that is it. I think tonight was pretty much it. I mean, it's rock bottom. You can almost see him on the sideline. He kind of – it looked like he lost his spirit, you know, somewhat in that second half. He was just – head was down. I think the end is very, very, very near for him. And so it goes. I don't know what came out of it. Other than McBride showed signs that he's real raw. He is an athlete. He's got some football sense. But, again, like everyone else on the team, he needs to be coached up. You know, and I had to laugh at halftime because they asked Butch Jones about, you know, McBride in the first half that he played, and he enjoyed some success. Butch Jones said how he wasn't surprised at it because he sees the time. So I'm saying to myself, well, you see it in practice all the time. This is the first time I've seen any of the team rally around a quarterback somewhat like they did him tonight. So if he's seen this guy in practice show some signs, coach him up and get him in there. I mean, don't say, well, we see it all the time in practice. I mean, well, why is he a third-string quarterback? You know, your thoughts.
There's no doubt. And Bob Baskerville said something on Twitter a few minutes ago about McBride. McBride deserves some of Butch's salary for that beating he took tonight.
He did.
That shot he took on the goal line there with about 4.5 minutes left, that helmet-to-helmet blow, and he stayed in there. I'm sitting there thinking to myself,
how about
there's no way that kid is okay after taking a shot like that. I mean, you got to look at him, don't you? That was a total blow.
Well, how about the pass he delivered to Wolf for the touchdown to tie it at 17? He took it in the kisser there, and he got knocked, you know, ass over tea kettle. You know, he completed it for the touchdown on was it a 4th-and-2? I mean, at the time, tied the game up right before half, it was 17-all. And he took a vicious shot there. So, I mean, he's real raw. But like all these guys, they got to be coached up. I mean, the defense completely quit. The defensive front got beat. I mean, I've never seen so many. That run before halftime was ridiculous. I mean, 67 yards. And the run at the end of the game when the quarterback actually scored, I don't think he went out of bounds. I mean, it could have very easily been 57-2. What do we have, 17 or whatever?
Oh, like Beano said, if that kid from the mid-state tonight didn't struggle with the dropsies, he had at least 2 touchdowns in his hands. And he had another crossing route, Beano, that he caught where there was a good 15 yards and there was no lane integrity in terms of you could just see he was fixing to score.
Plus the 2 touchdowns they had called back for holds.
Yes.
Yep. And I think those wound up in field goals on both occasions. So, you know, there's 8 more points. We really played 70-point defense tonight.
Mm.
It was brutal. And the other one, when Warrior picked it off and returned it 70 yards for touchdown, he understood. If he went over the top of him, the guy was clear there for 6. I mean, he underthrew he underthrew the guy. You know, he threw it over the top, you know, because the safety bit there, he sat down on it. If he went over the top, there was 7 more. So, I mean, it could have been, who knows what it could have been. I mean, like, this is Mark anyway. I called you last week and we were talking about it. I said they could score points by the pound and put up a crooked number, and they did them both. I don't know what weighs more, the crooked number or the pounds, but it was whatever. It was a lot of whatever.
Dude, they had half a 100 with 13 minutes left in a football game. How many times do you see that?
Yeah, well, not, it was pathetic. And you're playing a 4-5 team. I mean, and really, you've talked about it, and Beano's talked about it, and you guys have been right on it. You've got to coach these guys up. They're not getting any better, Butch. That's our problem. They're not getting any better. And, I mean, that's the sickening thing of it. I mean, I instruct things too, but the point is you want to try to make people better. You've got to find something they can relate to and have each one of them improve a little bit, and they haven't done that. He's had 5 years of nothing. He's getting worse than Dooley. He's going backwards, this guy. I mean, Jesus, right? I mean, it was sickening to watch, but I got to watch it just so I can talk about it.
Here's your number right now. This is the craziest number, and I appreciate your call. Thank you, brother. We're going to try and get as many people in here as humanly possible. Thank you, Mark, for being there. This is where we are right now, and this is a conversation that needs to be had among this fan base and across Rocky Top tonight. And I don't care wherever you are in the world, this conversation needs to be had. From 1933 to 2010, Tennessee had never gone 0-6 in Southeastern Conference play. From 2011 through 2017, the Vols have been 0-6 now 3 times. Let that sink in. 0-6 start in the conference. I want you to let that sink in for a second. Can't find a team in the league we can beat. Have a current losing streak against everybody. And Beano, we had over probably about, usually at those watch parties when we were cooking last year, 350, 400. Tonight, Beano, we had a good 125, 150 people in there. That's incredible. Yeah. Pam looks at me and she says, Tony, do you know how incredible it is that anybody would come out here to watch a game tonight? She said, how much better do these people deserve?
Well, the I tell you, Tony, the real shame of it is you sit here as a fan that's watched this program down through the years, and you live with it and you die with it, and they put you in a position where when you're watching your team play, you're afraid winning's not what's best for the program. And that's what happens when you allow this stuff to go on and on and on beyond when everyone knows that it's over.
Butch Jones said tonight that the defense in the second half got away from gap integrity. Not
in
I
the
quit.
Second half?
Not I quit, but they got away from gap integrity.
In the second half.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello. Welcome in. That's you. Welcome in. Hello. All right. Thank you for holding on. Appreciate you being there. Hello to our next caller. Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome.
Hey, guys. This is Mike from Tillsbin Road on the 656. Put a C Ray down here on Chodo. You boys doing all right tonight?
Go right ahead, man.
You boys ready to call Lane?
I would, Bino, I would take Lane Kiffin right now. I don't know what that says about me. I don't know what to make of that. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I would take him right now.
There are people I would prefer instead of Lane, but if you tell me that you're going to go Mike Norvell or someone like that, and they don't call Lane Kiffin, then they're imbeciles.
Hey, guys, I'm guzzling G.H. Mum champagne out here because I know Lane Kiffin's coming back, and it's going to take about $4.5 million to do it. I've been talking to Jimmy Sexton, and you morons need to just get on the Lane train because I can hear the whistle. Love you both.
I would take Dan Mullen five times over Lane Kiffin. But, of course, Dan Mullen's never beaten Alabama, and I get to listen to that from people. Dan Mullen does a hell of a job. I'm not sure if there's a guy in college football at his stop who's done a better job than him outside of the guys that win natties. I mean, that guy does incredible work down there at Mississippi State. To the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. 865-200-5402 again. 865-200-5402. 5402. The hits just keep on coming for our volunteers. And let me go back to our phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, it's Keenan Walter. Good to talk to you, brother.
Hey, Walter, welcome in.
Hey, listen, got the inside groomer thing, and this is what I'm thinking now, and got a little Jeff County thing, Jeeker, you know, I've known him a long time. But all I'm saying is you know where it's going to the NFL for the Gruden guys. They're going straight into Las Vegas. He's going straight into the Vegas thing. They're talking to him. Gruden is going to the NFL, and he's not going to the Browns. He's going to the Las Vegas thing in the NFL. That's what I'm hearing. Now, I'm not trying to get Jeeker all upset.
Las Vegas and the NFL is what you're hearing, and that's your groomer of the night.
Listen, all I'm saying is he got a $10 million offer from Tennessee, and he turned it down. And Tampa Bay talked about trying to get him, okay? And then all of a sudden, it goes back to a West Coast thing, and he's going to be a Las Vegas. That's what's happening.
So the Las Vegas Hitmen of the XFL, is he going with the Las Vegas Knights of the NHL, or is he going with the Raiders when they go to Vegas?
the Raiders when they're going to Vegas. Now, mark my word on that, and I'm not really
going to be in the front. Going to be in the front office or
head coach. It's coming,
brother. You got me fired up. Thank you, my man.
Good to see you.
Thank you. 865-200-5402. The great Tony. Go ahead.
Coaching is so much in Gruden's blood. He's going to be the first guy to ever coach in the NFL and at Tennessee at the same time.
Dude, I love the groomers. If, you know, they used to say, are your ears burning? John Gruden's ears couldn't be put out by my man DJ Corcoran on the back of one of those big old trucks right about now. I mean, there's just no way.
His ears are burning worse than Butch's backside.
Well, 865-200-5402. You know, the thing about beating on Butch Jones, Bino, is I'm not even sure if that's even necessary tonight, you know?
You know, I think it was Mike, and I agree with him, of course. You know, I'm looking for things. Maybe I'm seeing things that aren't there. But his body language did have a sense of resignation to it in the second half. You know, maybe that's just a one evening resignation. But he did look like a guy that was saying, you know, the gig's up. Matter of fact, once it looked like he put a piece of gum in his mouth over there or something.
865-200-5402. I'm going to bring the great, and you will bow your head when you say his name here on the Garza Law Firm, Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction, because the man was out tonight with the people, and he was taking pictures with folks, and Tony Robinson matters to people. And, Tony, we now have, as I welcome you in, and I like to drop the good news on people as I bring them in. Tony, we have a losing streak to everybody now that we've played in college football.
Yeah, we're 0-for in
the
SEC.
We're 0-for the league.
0-for for the league. Mm-hmm. But you one good thing, Tony.
Lay it on me. I want to hear some good. Give me some good news out of tonight, buddy.
I think we've found our man for right now. I mean, I think we found us a quarterback for right now. McBride, as I said last week, you know, my first time seeing him. I like what I seen from him from the first week, and this week, second week, I really like the kid. He's very decisive. You know, he makes his decision and he goes with it. You know, and I think he's going to get better with more playing time and learning the system. So I've seen from McBride. Period.
You know, Tony, my thought with him is I want him to succeed.
Yeah, me too. You know? Me too.
But I don't want him to get hurt.
No.
You know? And that's a thing that scares me mm-hmm. when I watch that kid play.
Yeah.
Is this next staff needs to be able to coach and develop.
Coach and develop.
If you can coach and develop that kid.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be a nice player at this level.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He showed some shake out there tonight, Bino.
Oh, yeah. I can say his decisiveness is really what I liked about him, Tony. Mm-hmm. And he's got that quarterback mentality, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And, like I said, and he's going to only get better with good coaching,
yep.
for one.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And, like I said, the next coaching staff that comes in, hopefully we'll have someone that will help develop his quarterbacking skills.
Gruden's first move is going to be to fire Curry. Somebody just said on Periscope tonight.
I don't think that's going to happen to you.
I like McBride. Let's get our call in.
But you know one thing? You know one thing? A quarterback cannot be successful unless he has an offensive line.
No question.
Okay. You know, I don't care regardless how good you are,
yep.
or whatever. If you don't have an offensive line in front of you,
yep.
to help protect you,
yes,
you're not going to do anything.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in, 865-200-5402. Man, I'll tell you what, if Mrs. B wasn't here, if I didn't have her brother, I wouldn't have
You'd
anything
be lost.
In this life.
We'll all be lost.
I'm telling you, man. I mean, she is.
Oh, yes.
You talk about the unsung hero. When somebody tells a story of how we've been able to do what we've been able to do, all this time that we've been able to do it.
Yeah.
And I've had some incredible people along the way who have helped me.
But Miss B is Miss B is.
Lady's an angel.
She's an angel, man. I love her to death. Laura, I love you to death,
beautiful
sweetie.
Beautiful lady, too.
Beautiful,
man.
Beautiful lady. Oh, man. Oh,
hot as a firecracker.
Yes, sir.
Let's go back to the phones.
But don't get her
love
twisted.
Love my wife.
But don't get her twisted.
Hey, you get her. Like I said
don't
tonight
get
at that watch party, I gave, hey, Bino, I gave a prize away to a redhead there tonight. And I said, I haven't even pulled your name. I don't know your name. I said, but you're winning a prize because the first thing I do in any crowd is I give that redhead a prize. Because I know that redhead is fixing to snap if something good doesn't happen for them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Let's get our next call in, 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Welcome in.
Hello, I'm not a redhead, but I am a first-time caller.
You sound precious, so I welcome you into the program.
Well, thank you. My name is Stephanie Shipley. I'm a first-time caller, but my husband is a long-time listener, and his name is Chip Shipley, which I think you know very well, and he loves you dearly. And I was calling to chat and find out, why is Bitch's nose so red? And so purple tonight.
Bino, do you have a thought on that? I hear that he's fighting a cold, and John Gruden has shared an elixir with him regarding that. John Gruden has a special formula, and I hear that he has. Have you heard anything along those lines, Beanstar?
I have not, Tony. I do know that Butch is pretty much a human thermometer. You know, you can tell what his mood is by the color of his face.
I feel so sorry for Butch, don't you? To our caller,
I do. I just want to say that
yes.
I will always be a Vols fan. We bleed orange in my family, and we will always root for the Vols. But I just wondered if Butch had a little too much gin.
Well, you know what? I don't think Butch could have enough gin based on his coaching, and I thank you. Thank you. Good talking to you. And that's what
I don't think.
Yes.
I don't think Butch has had a drop, but I think that he's sold a whole bunch of it here lately.
Huh. We are currently trending number one worldwide. I'm getting ready to tweet this out on TuneIn Radio. That's amazing. I mean, this little program. This little thing that we do here.
Did you expect anything less?
It's pretty amazing, Tom.
It is.
I mean, there's a ton of huge radio companies out there. And let's go to our phones. Mrs. B took a picture of it, and I shot it out there. And nice talking to you. Your husband is a sweetheart, and I appreciate all you all do. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome to our next call. Hello.
Hey, Tony. How you doing tonight?
Hey, welcome in. You got the playmaker Tony Robinson and Bino Jeff Henderson. My name is Tony Basilio. It's your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. It's 48 past 11 o'clock in the Eastern time zone. It's going to be a long one tonight.
I'll tell you what, Tony. I'm celebrating a couple of things tonight. Number one, sitting here in Nashville, my Preds just got a little bit of revenge on the old Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yes.
And I'm going to be celebrating on Monday night because the first thing I'm doing Monday, I'm going to wake up, go to my banker, get a home equity loan. Then I'm going to Boaz Ramon, where the accent is always on value. And I'm going to buy a $30,000 turnover chain because we're about to have a coaching turnover, baby.
Cool! And who's the? Are you going to finish this off with that night on Monday Night Football, a certain individual who looks like a certain individual from a certain horror movie, is going to end this horror for us, this HOH that has been Tennessee football, this house of horrors in the last 10 years. Are you ready to go that far?
Tony, I don't care. You know what? I think Gruden's going to meet me in Nashville, and I think he might stop me from spending that home equity loan and save me the interest. Say, Brian, put that money back in your pocket, sir. I'm coming to Nashville, and I'm bringing the belt.
Brother, he's going to pick you up. Let's just say this right now. On the plane, he's going to pick you up on the company plane, brother.
Tony, if my Pop Warner coach took the job at UT tomorrow, I'd feel better than I do tonight.
Tone, can you find a team that's more poorly coached than we are? I mean, seriously.
Do we
do anything well, Tony, as a football team? Anything? Do we do anything well?
We just
lose.
Not if I can see.
Nothing. Can I ask the caller that? Do we do
anything?
That's
not fair. That's not fair. Tony, you can't say nothing. We lose.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't say that. I didn't want to say that. But, it's sickening, you know, for the kids and everything and for the fans. But I think we got some good things that are getting ready to come up. We got some good things coming up, and I think tonight with McBride back there, I think we found a young man that can play the position. Just a little bit more coaching and some more playing time. I think we're going to have some good things to look forward to.
Hey, all kidding aside, guys, and I love you guys, all kidding aside, if we get rid of this joker tomorrow, you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to sitting down the next couple of Saturdays and getting to cheer for my team.
Amen.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Amen.
Definitely.
And a shout out to my brother Justin and his son Gavin and his buddy Will. Gavin, I promise one day you're going to see us beat Alabama.
God bless you, Gavin.
Start next year.
God bless you, Gavin. Good talking to you, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Good talking to you. 865-200-5402. Allison just reminded me of something, and I, before this day expires, I want to say a word. Because I know Bino comes from a military family. Tone, I know you do, and I do as well. And I want to wish, with the 10 minutes left, all the veterans out there and all the active personnel listening to us, we get a chance to do this. Fun and frivolity because of you. Life's a freeway. Freedom is not free. I respect and appreciate each and every one of you. My heart, I love you. To the parents listening to me who have children deployed, loved ones deployed, to the wives listening who have lent us your husbands, some who have made the ultimate sacrifice, I just want to not let another minute go by without acknowledging how much you mean to me, how much you mean to all of us. And also I want to say to Butch Jones, why don't you quit tonight, damn it? Let's go back to our phones. I mean, Bino, I'm allowed to say both things, right? Do I have the freedom to say both things?
Absolutely you do.
I mean, and Louise.
I thought the caller said it exactly as most are feeling, Tony. It's hard to pull for your team in this situation, and we never should have been put in that position.
Back to our phones we go. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Thank you, Marcos Garza.
Tony.
Yes, welcome in, please.
Hey, Tony, this is Big Dog from West Tennessee.
Hey, thank you, Big Dog. Please now bark, my friend.
Bino, my dad used to be your mom's pastor.
Oh, absolutely. I know who this is.
Okay,
thanks,
buddy.
For calling.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
It's been a while since I've talked to you, bud.
It's good to talk to you.
Well, let me tell you about my day today. So my son is in first grade, and I'm his first and second grade flag football coach. And we are now 3-0. We're averaging 36 points a game. And my team listens to me, and they understand simple football. after watching the game tonight, pointed out a couple of things to my son. He goes, "What is that moron calling?" So I had to tell him, I said, "Son, we don't call our coach moron, but it's okay in this stance because now we've gone 2 years of calling our coach moron." So we went and got haircuts this afternoon, and we went to Sport Clips, and we're in there. I had a veteran walk up, and he asked the lady that was behind the desk how much his haircut would cost. And she said, "Well, your haircut's free today because you're a veteran, as long as you show your card." He said, "Okay, that's great." So as we walked out, of course, I acknowledged. I said, "Thank you for your service." He said, "Thank you, sir." So it was a great day as far as just me and him, and just get to spend that time together and having a fun day today and winning our football game and understanding what the day is about. But then as we sat down and watched tonight's game, I sat there and thought, what in the heck has happened to Tennessee football? I enjoyed yesterday's show immensely, and I'm a big fan of the Groomers. I may or may not, you know, they're probably not going to happen, but they're fun to listen to. They're fun to enjoy. But if you watch Butch's demeanor tonight, the show, I think on Thursday, Tony, where you're talking about the way that Haslam's trying to rehab him, it made me quite nervous, the fact that Butch was quite composed on the sidelines.
Yeah.
He looked like he was into the game tonight for the first time all season.
Yep.
It got away from him.
Yep.
He stayed with it. It makes me very scared to think that this joker is going to be on the sidelines next year.
Listen, let me tell you something. At halftime, I was thinking to myself, because I know what's going on behind the scenes, and it ain't this wild goose chase for John Gruden. It's those people telling people, "Well, you know what? Fiscally, I don't know if we can make a coaching change right now." That's really what's what's going on behind the scenes. From my lips to God's ears to you in West Tennessee, I'm telling you, and people don't want to believe that, but here's the thing. When they put a 50-burger on you, and there's 13 minutes left in the game, and they kneel down on the one-foot line to not make it 56 or 57, and that's a four-win football team that played a C-plus football game, man. They played they didn't even play a great game. That wasn't even a great game.
Tony, if you were right here, you'd understand I'm about to break my curl bar in half because I'm so ticked off right now.
Exactly.
Because I made the same comment that at the 13-minute mark when we had given up 50 points, I said, "We've given up 50 points to Missouri in our 121-year football history." And the first person that commented was a state representative's wife that said his buyout's too big. I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Hey, thank you,
Where
my friend.
Where are the VFLs? Tony Robinson, I understand. Yeah. You're the man.
Thank you, brother.
I've got to tell you this.
Go ahead.
I listened to Vince Ferrara a couple weeks ago. It was actually last week. It was on Halloween night. He was interviewed by Fish and Stats here in Memphis. And Vince made the comment that there's not enough VFLs voicing enough to say that this guy's got to go. So I don't know who else needs to make more comments besides Tony Robinson, Albert Hainsworth, or whoever, Peyton Manning, whoever. Oh, my goodness. I'm a VFL. I paid tuition to go to the University of Tennessee. I don't know who else to go and lobby to, but what do we need to do to get this guy out of here?
Well, I think that it's going to happen. I expect it to happen within the next I'm not going to walk around and predict what the Haslams are going to do. But I do think that this week, when word got out that he had a chummy meeting over there in the athletic department talking about Mr. Jim Haslam, and here's the thing about the Haslams. Look, they do a lot of good stuff. I'm not saying they're terrible people. They're just awful at sports. I mean, it's undeniable. And they need to let somebody else call the shot. That's the real takeaway here. The real takeaway is, now that there's going to be an opening, y'all are bad at this. Y'all are bad at it in Cleveland. And I'm not doing that as an in-your-face thing. It's just the truth. Somebody needs to go to them and go, why don't you sit this one out and let other people that know do this? And quit controlling. Quit controlling. You know what Sting once said? If you love something, set it free. Set it free. If you really love Tennessee sports, set it free. Now let me say a word here. Because we're going to go back to our phones. And while we're doing that, my friends at Old Dominic are going to allow me and Tone to drink a toast to our friends. And this is Old Dominic Memphis Toddy. And I want you to look at how low this bottle is, those of you who are looking on Periscope. And those of you that aren't looking on Periscope, Tone, how much is left in our bottle here?
Oh, man, we're at the bottom of the barrel, my brother. We're at the bottom of
really
the barrel.
Which is really appropriate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is really appropriate.
Because it is good.
This is bourbon whiskey infused with natural flavors.
The body.
A toddy for the body. This is Dominic Canales' perfect personal recipe, Dominico Canala. This is his long-lost Memphis Toddy, reborn from the family recipe, not to be confused with Chico Canales, Dominico Canales. Bino, do we want to draw a distinction right now? Because Chico Canales and his quarterback coaching will make you get to the bottom of a barrel rather, or bottom of a bottle rather quickly. Bino, do you agree?
I would agree with that, Tony. I think it's one of the worst coach units on the field.
Your lifetime.
Although Will McBride may not have the physical tools of the other two, he certainly looks more like a quarterback to me than they do.
This has subtle notes of citrus in it, botanicals, and honey coalescing into what can be best described as southern-infused. You can enjoy it neat. You can pour it cracked over ice. And I want to also remind you of the Old Dominic brands of vodka. Here in the studio, I've got Memphis vodka. I've got Honeybee citrus-flavored vodka. Now we're going to drink a toast. We get to our next caller. 865-200.
I'm drinking a toast to my man, Will McBride.
Will McBride. Will I'm
McBride.
Drinking a toast to our veterans.
Our veterans.
And to the Miami boys tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Who ended the dream for Notre Dame.
Oh, yes, sir.
And also to the Auburn Tigers, who ended the dream for the Georgia Bulldogs. Georgia's dream is not over yet.
No, because I never thought that Georgia should be the number one ranked team in the nation.
And somebody just
said
on Periscope, Bino, that our quarterbacks look like they're coached by Old Dominic Canales because they have a hint of confusion about them.
Oh, man.
Hey, guys, you mentioned Miami. That really should be our model because they had a lot of the same things going on that we do. Some battles between the academic side and the athletic side, some booster issues, those type of things. They had gone away, basically. They were a power that had gone away. And we've got a lot of the same issues, so if they can get back in it, we can get back in it.
Bino, you know, when Mark Richt went to Miami, the first thing that went through my mind was, oh, boy, the U was back.
Yep.
The U was coming back. And, you know, I've watched Mark Richt for a long time. You know, he was in Florida State up under Bobby Bowden for a long time. And, you know, I know he was a good offense coordinator. He could call some plays. He could run offense. And he went to Georgia, done real well at Georgia. And, you know, the expectations at Georgia are pretty high. And when a guy wins 10, 11 games and you still get rid of him, you know.
It is what it is.
I give him credit. But
you know what he's saying tonight? If somebody said that tonight, how do you like me now?
Like me
right
now.
Through that hurricane sign.
That's right.
He's up there on top of the college football world.
And he's undefeated.
And he's here's the thing.
Undefeated,
here's the
man.
Thing. Alabama's now going to be number one in America. How do you not have Miami in the top four? They have to be.
You got to. I mean, you got to be, man. You know, Miami, you know, they don't.
Huge win for Miami.
It's not pretty, but they're winning.
Back to our phones we go. Let's get our next call in. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, two Tonys. Hey, Bino.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, this is Greg down in Columbia, Tennessee. Well, I got on a little bit earlier tonight. Let me throw this at you guys. I had heard during the second half that Coach Jones had told a player that he had so many minutes left to be the coach of this team. And then after I heard that, I was watching the game. As it went into the fourth quarter, it looked like our guys quit. And especially when the guy was running down the far sidelines, they hardly ever hit him, and he got in the end zone. They called him out at the one-yard line. Did y'all take that they just let up, just gave up?
I just thought they were gassed tonight. And also, we're just not very good, man. Look, I mean, on defense, we're just not very good. And Butch Jones tonight, for the first time in my opinion, the clips I've seen of his press conference, the question that was asked of him about his relationship with Curry tonight, he looks done. And I heard earlier today that the outcry has been so great to the concept of bringing him back, even at 6-6, that the thought was that finally the HOH politically said, we're back, because they're political animals. We're going to back away from this deal and let y'all have him if that's what it's going to be, especially if they get cranked tonight. And when you get beat 50-17, I'd say that's enough. I'd say he's had enough, man.
You know what, T? I'm through with that subject. You know, with Coach Jones, I'm not even commenting on that anymore. It's over and done with.
But he has to be fired tomorrow.
But you know, I mean,
right?
whatever they're going to do, they're going to do it. And you know, my thought.
Doesn't it bother you as a VFL that they could still be there? I mean, that piss you off?
You're right, but by me voicing my opinion, it's not going to do anything. So whenever they get ready to do what they're going to do,
okay,
do it. You know what I mean?
So I respect you. And I'm sorry for being.
I love the Big Orange to death,
yeah,
and
you
know,
you, man. I'm sorry.
And I want to see us do better. But like I said, by me voicing my opinion, saying this and that about Coach Jones, you know, saying it's not going to do anything.
You.
So you know, whenever they decide to do what they're going to do, then you know, it'll be done or whatever. So I'm getting tired of it, man. I'm not gonna lose any sleep over it.
Hey guys, one thing I can say, I'll get off of here. Every call I've made up to you guys and listen to your show every Saturday night, it's been every caller fed up. We're done. Time to let him go. They're saying that at Nashville radio. They're saying that amongst friends I know. What's it going to take for the damn people in charge up there to fire the gun and get him gone? And to me, the only thing would be, do they have a home game left? They got a home game left, right, too?
Don't show up.
I hate to say it. I never thought I would say it, but if you don't show up at the damn stadium, that might give them the damn message, we've had enough.
Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. And 865-202, here's the thing about tonight that's really startling to me, and I go back to this. They had a 50-burger with 13 minutes left on us. And, Tony, they didn't even play that well offensively. I mean, they were okay.
When I left,
they didn't execute.
I didn't, you know what, Tony? When I left the watch party,
yeah,
it wasn't 50 points on the board at the time.
No.
You know
it. But it spurted.
It's got that bad.
They spurted.
You know what?
Bino, we quit tackling there,
you know, Tony,
for a while. Yeah.
Our defense.
Yes.
Played some. Good God. Our defense didn't play any ball this week.
They didn't play.
They didn't play any ball, man.
No.
They didn't play any ball because I mean, we're not the best defense in the world, but
right,
we've been playing some good ball, decent, you know what I'm saying? But our offense hasn't been playing any ball to help our defense. And tonight, our defense didn't do anything, man.
They gave up 600 yards again to that team after 800
last
year.
those two running backs had over 200-something yards, man. But I was like, oh, my God, what's going on here?
Pino, when it's all written and it's all said and done, Bob Shoup is going to be one of the great frauds in the history of Tennessee football.
There's absolutely no question.
Well, and our defense hasn't been any good from the start. We've just played teams that had no offense, basically. I mean, we're last in the league in rush defense.
Yeah.
And the only reason we're in last in pass defense is nobody's had to throw the football.
Nobody's throwing the ball. But let me kind of feel everybody in on something.
Go ahead, man.
Okay. Now, Coach Shoup.
Yes.
I like Coach Shoup. Uh-huh. You know, I've talked to him plenty of times and everything. And you got to look at it like this. It's not just Coach Shoup. It's not Coach Shoup. Okay, it's the interception. It's the Bush Jones interception. You know what I mean?
It's so like, the people that he wants to play don't play.
The people that Shoup wants to play.
Jones has done that the whole time.
He's been here. It's the head coach's decision.
He is a complete weirdo.
Now,
all-time
if Coach Shoup wants to do this, and Coach Jones doesn't want to do that, then what are you going to listen? I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's an assistant coach. He's a head coach. So he's got to do what the head coach wants to do.
8-6-5.
You know what I mean? So I look at it like this, Tony. We have some good assistant coaches over there.
Yeah.
But if you don't do what the head coach says, what happens?
Oh, you lose your job.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? And I think we said this a long time ago. They've been set up to fail, you know.
I think
Coach Shoup's a better coach than what's been shown right now.
Yeah.
But he's not getting a chance to, you know, everybody's seen his, you know, what he's done in the past. And here at Tennessee, I don't think he's had the opportunity to show what he can do because of the situation with Coach Jones.
Let's go back to the phones, get our next call in. I think Bob Shoup's a fraud. And let's get our next call in.
Well, that's okay.
You're entitled to your opinion. Let's. And I'm going to bring it at you, Tone. I think that guy's let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in. Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tony. This is Matt in Birmingham, Alabama, longtime Tennessee fan, first-time caller.
Thank you, Matt, for being there, buddy. Good to hear from you tonight.
Yeah, you know, it's honestly, I hate that I'm to the point where I'm willing to call your program. But I tell you that I don't know if it's a money thing, but to say, especially if there's any truth to you guys being the number one worldwide streaming show, that we could start a GoFundMe account. And I'll personally pledge $100 to it, whether it be to fund the buyout or to fund the new hire. But, you know, I don't know if the guys that are in control are nervous about hiring someone that's going to have the kind of charisma that the program, the fans would love more than them. But if they don't go about getting someone that really is going to have the ability to go out and get, you know, load the team full of horses, we're never going to be competitive. I mean, you can have the best X's and O's guys on the planet, and if you don't have guys that can win the foot race, they're not going to win. So we've got to hire somebody that can go out and make a splash.
Who's your guy?
Well, I mean, my guy is the same guy that everybody else wants, you know. But my concern is, I think that, you know, Curry is probably more. He's probably intimidated by how beloved he would be if he were to come and be the head coach at UT.
Yeah, I don't think it's a Curry thing. I think that's a House of Haslam thing, and they don't like powerful people around their deals. And so I'm a big believer that Bruce Pearl got a little too big for his britches here, and that's why they were kind of happy to see him go there at the end. At first when that was first surmised to me by somebody who's a longtime observer of these things, And, Bino, you may have been with me. I kind of shrugged that off. And then the more I've thought about that the last several years, the more I've thought, you know, that kind of makes sense. Bruce Pearl came in here as sort of a blue-collar guy, and he turned into this white-collar monster, and he turned into this cause celeb around town, and he got bigger than the deal. And those guys don't like things that are bigger than the deal. They just don't. And
well, I mean, I know you say that, but, you know, the thing is, my experience has been that people of real power really like to kind of fly underneath the radar. So, you know,
right.
To me, I wonder if it's more about a Curry situation where he's a relatively young AD and doesn't want, you know, the rest of his time being at UT where he's going to, you know, be operating underneath the shadow of someone who's going to be more loved than him.
It's not his call, though. See, let me tell you.
Well, so it's basically a money play, correct?
It's all a money play. So here's the
thing. Okay, so what's the economic impact of having a guy like Nick Saban at Alabama?
These guys don't think like that, though. These guys, I'm telling you, the Haslams would not have Nick Saban at Tennessee. They wouldn't. He could call them tomorrow and say, I'll take your job. And they would say, we don't want you. And the reason they wouldn't want him, and you got to really understand this if you want to understand the way this thing works. The reason they don't want Nick Saban here is because he's too powerful. I want you to understand that. Until you can understand that, and maybe you can't accept that, but I'm telling you.
I can perfectly accept it. I just think that it's really short-sighted. And if you want, I mean, what's the economic impact? What's the benefit just to the state alone? I was born in Knoxville.
Incredible.
Spent the first 10 years of my life there. My parents graduated from UT. You know, I love Tennessee, and so does my family. But, you know, I will tell you, and I hate to say this, but I can almost guarantee you that domestic abuse in the state of Tennessee is probably pretty high this year. You know, I mean, that sounds a ridiculous
statement.
Yeah,
everything's
bad.
No, everything's bad. Depression is higher. My checkbook is smaller. A lot of people's checkbook is smaller because of this. No question. But here's the thing you got to understand. Again, this thing is about control. Mm-hmm. And they've got to let control this thing go. People say, Tony, why are you all of a sudden putting this out in the open so much? Because until they let go of control, this thing is not going to change.
No.
They're going to hire the next jabroni up, and it's going to be the next jabroni up. And somebody has to appeal to them. And if it's in my little corner of the world, then so be it. But somebody's got to say to them, enough's enough. If you love it, set it free.
This is my seeing right here, T.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to say anything else about it. You can ask me all day long, but I'm going to give you my thoughts on this whole thing, head coaching thing. Okay. Now, if we can get the right head coach in here, I'm all for it. Okay. If it's Gruden,
uh-huh.
Okay, I'm all for it. All right. Now. My thing is this: let's not rush this thing. Let's not rush into hiring a head coach.
Amen.
Just to get a head coach, you know what I mean? Let's take our time and get the right guy for this job.
Yes.
Okay, because we've had three what?
Jabronis.
Okay. So if we have to hire an interim head coach for a little while,
right?
Before we hire a head coach, let's do this, man. I'm all for this. I want to get the right coach in this in this spot. But the most important thing is this: a guy that knows volunteer football.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hey,
a guy that knows what UT football is all about, and also let's get some guys in here that know.
And to our caller, just, and I'm not going to say, I told you, I don't do that. I don't need to. But let me just share something with you. I was talking about a past coaching search on here one time, and people thought I was kidding. Until Chris Lowe wrote an article this week quoting Gary Patterson. Bino, did you see what Gary Patterson said in that story? And then we're going to finish with the caller. Did you see what he said, Bino? Did you happen to see that story?
Where he basically said what you've been saying for a number of years about when Patterson interviewed for the job, and he was told that he was pretty much a mid-major coach, and that's what he'd always be.
They hired that horse's rectum, Derek Dooley, who had never achieved anything, and told Gary Patterson, they told Gary Patterson, mid-major Mike Hamilton, told Gary Patterson, we believe you are a mid-major coach. And Gary Patterson, through time, has said, I thank God for unanswered prayers. Well, Gary, I don't thank God for that unanswered prayer because you should have been the coach here.
Tony, I believe that was the Kiffin hire, right?
The Kiffin hire, I'm sorry.
But
it's all the same. They should have gone back a year later. But to our caller in Birmingham, that's what you're dealing with here. These guys could walk into a room full of – you could have five great coaches in a room and have one jabroni, and they would pull the jabroni out.
Well, Tony, I'll let you go. Again, I appreciate your show. I find it entertaining, and it's good to be part of a community after getting beat up like we've gotten beat up this year and for the last several years. But, you know, I've heard good things about the Haslam family. So, I don't know them personally, so I can't speak negatively about them or anybody else that's a major donor or supporter of the university. But there is real benefit to having a coach, a Saban-type coach, which I think Gruden would be, at the University of Tennessee. Alabama, their football program, Nick Saban, the economic benefit to the state is tremendous, first and foremost. Not just that, but if you're focused on academics, which I know the University of Tennessee is, you can look at what's happened with academics at the University of Alabama. They are attracting some of the best and brightest kids from all over the country, all over the world, that want to go to school there. And a big reason is because, you know, the aura, everything that's surrounding their football program, all the hype around the University of Alabama. So, you know, the Haslam family, I know that they are a beloved family. They're a very important family, and there are others that are the same way. You know, bringing in somebody like Gruden would only make them more beloved, in my opinion. But we'll just have to see what the story holds. So thanks again. Appreciate your call. Thank you for allowing me to call in.
Hey, thank you, my friend. And here's the thing: if you got to understand about the Haslams and this whole deal, I think their philanthropic work in this community is great. I appreciate all the School of Music and all that stuff. But they're not good at sports, and they love controlling things. Those are two things that are you talk to people from here. But even more to the point, they've got to let go of this thing. They've got to let go of this thing. Bino, I want your thoughts, because T-Rob really has been around here long enough to answer this. You have, Bino, in terms of every day in and day out, and understanding the political goings-on, based on the people that we've talked to, you know, at different remotes and around town and different things. And, you know, we've had thousands of hours of conversation, way too much on this. Do you believe that if – and I said something that was a really fantastic comment, speaking of fantasy, which is that if Nick Saban himself were to call these people and say, hey – I've always loved the color orange. I've always loved Neyland Stadium. That thing is a wreck right now. I want my last act as a sitting head coach in college football to rebuild this thing. Would they take him, Bino? Would the Haslams take Nick Saban?
No, you're correct, Tony. And it's hard for people to understand how important control is to certain folks. But all you have to do to understand it is look at what happened with the Dallas Cowboys with Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson. Everything was perfect. They were winning. They had the right coach. They had the right players. And who got credit for it became bigger than winning. And sometimes that happens. And but if you look at Alabama, they went through about five coaches doing the same thing that we're doing right now. And they reached their breaking point.
Yep.
The question is, when here do our powers reach their breaking point?
Back to the phones we go. And that's what I'm saying. Go ahead, Tom.
A big thing is this, T. You know, winning was a set of a lot of things, you know.
Yep.
And like I said, let's not rush the judgment here. Let's make sure we get the right coach in here. But, as you say, the Haslams, I don't know a lot about the Haslam,
you
know, but I know who they are and I know what they are.
Sure.
Okay, now money talks, and you know, BS runs the marathon.
Yeah,
that. But there comes a time when you got to sit back and let people, you know, let somebody else handle this thing that knows what they're doing. You know what I mean? The Haslams, you look at them, the pro football team, they're not doing, they're doing worse than we are.
Yeah.
Okay. And that, I mean, if you look at it, it just shows you, well, they're not very sports. They're not into the sports thing.
They're horrible at it.
They're horrible at it, you know. So let somebody else take control of this thing, man.
I don't know what's going to happen. We'll say 865-200-5402 if you want to get in the mix and in the hunt. Again, 865. And I'm not just saying that those people are all terrible. I'm not. But they're bad at this, man. And some people on Periscope and Twitter are saying, I'm calling BS on that Nick Saban thing. Good. Call BS on it. I understand how it sounds absurd. It's an absurd thing that I just said. Not only did I say it, I believe it. And I believe it because it's the truth, damn it. Let's go to our phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on your Garza Law Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction.
Hey, Tony. It's Turkey Man.
Hey, T. Welcome in, buddy.
How you doing?
Good, buddy. Good talk to you, man.
I did a turkey for Thanksgiving, Turkey Man.
I got Thanksgiving in the freezer, brother.
All right, my man.
I've been trying to get away from this Bush Jones thing for a week or so. I've been out chasing them whitetail, Tony, hunting them deer.
You have something in common with Lane Kiffin. He's been out chasing tail.
Yeah, I understand that. No, I've been chasing them and deer. Anyhow, man, got to get away and do things to kind of get away from this stuff because it drives you crazy. Makes you say things, do things, and act the way you shouldn't act sometimes. But on the line of what you guys were saying, I had a couple of questions about the game tonight. What coach would decline a holding penalty that would put their field goal kicker out of range? And I've seen him do this several times, you know, decline a 10-yard penalty, and then they kick a field goal 41 yards instead of, you know, 51.
I'll say this about Butch Jones. The guy has never, and I mean ever, managed a football game properly. He never gave you an idea. He didn't at Cincinnati. And he did not hear from the very beginning give you the indication that he was going to manage a game properly. But not to be outdone. Today when Georgia was in a really close football game, Miko Hardman had a great run back. I don't know if either one of you guys saw this, but he runs the ball back at the end of the first half. There's 22 or 23 seconds left. They're out of timeouts. And what do they do, Bino? What do they do on the first play when they get the ball?
I don't know, Tony.
They ran the football, and the clock ran all the way down, and they were forced to settle for a field goal.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
And Georgia's announcers are sitting there going, what in the world are we doing?
Yeah, there were 23 seconds left. They have time to run two or three plays.
And score a touchdown and change the game there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my point is that even in perfect seasons, nobody's perfect. Butch Jones is just really bad at managing games, though. That's just him.
Did Kelly come back in after the blow up Butch had with him because he got that personal foul or whatever it was?
What was that about? Yeah, I see him talking to Kelly.
Yeah, he came back in.
What happened?
He did. I didn't see him come back in. But the other thing, I'm hoping that whoever, Haslams or whoever, is going to make their hire. I hope that they have an understanding of football, that if they get a coach, they can actually coach.
Well,
because we've got to have somebody that understands the game and somebody that understands how to put the right people in the right position and understands how to coach and how to teach fundamentals. And we've got to have that no matter who it is. I don't care if it's I've never heard of the guy. If he can coach and they can understand what to do, then we're going to be okay in the long run because we're Tennessee. People want, will come here, and we'll win, and we'll have more recruits. But bottom line is, when you see stuff like what we watch and we witness and we see week in and week out, and you scratch your head out, you know, that ain't what you do. And it don't take, you know, it ain't something that, you know, I'm sitting here watching it. Anybody that knows the game of football knows you don't do that. And so that, you know, whoever we get, I hear this coach, I hear that coach. I don't care who it is. If he can coach and he can teach tackling and he can teach the X's and O's and he can manage the game and he can manage the young men, but I hope whoever goes gets this coach understands the game, because apparently they would be as upset as I'm upset watching it.
Hey, T, thanks. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. I just can't believe the guy. Well, I'm going to ask both of you. Does he make it to Monday? Does Butch Jones make it to Monday, in your opinion? Tony Robinson, the playmaker.
Butch makes it to Monday, man.
He does make it to Monday.
He makes it to Monday, man. He makes it the next week. He coaches against LSU, and, I mean.
Come on, Tony.
God dang it,
does he make
man.
It to Monday, Bino?
Well, Tony, I thought the Kentucky game was the first time that I thought that he wouldn't make it. After the Kentucky game, I felt like it would be the next loss. So I'm going to say that either tomorrow or Monday it's announced that Butch Jones will not be the coach in 2018. And I don't believe there'll be an interim. I believe he'll coach against LSU and Vandy. But I believe they'd make an announcement early this week.
I think it's announced tomorrow. That's my inclination. And I don't have any, let me just say this. I don't have a source. I just have a feeling. And I trust my instincts, and I'm going to trust my instinct here. I did have a source tell me today that if it got ugly tonight, that they would cut the cord on him, and it would happen sooner than later. And I would say tonight was ugly. Would you say it was?
Tonight was ugly.
I mean, when they're kneeling down on you, and they got a 50-burger,
yeah,
and they're taking
yeah.
a knee on
we
you.
Got, well, you got to have a sensor on you, man. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
And, but he'll be here Monday.
Let's go back to
he'll
our,
be here Monday. Will I be able to go? Will I be able to go to campus Monday?
Wait a second. Somebody just said I said this since the Georgia game. No, I said I would fire him. People need to learn how to listen. I never said he would be gone. I said they should fire him, and they should have fired him. I don't back away from that. I never said. Don't put words in my. That pisses me off worse than anything imaginable when people don't listen. And some of you. Do not listen. You are not capable of listening. I never said he was gone. I've never said that. What I said is he should be gone, and he should have been gone then. This is the first time, though, I really feel like he will be gone. I think it's going to happen tomorrow. Just my instinct is telling me that. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, fellas, this is J.D. from Blount County.
Hey, J.D. in Blount County. Hello.
Doing great. It's first-time caller, long-time listener.
Appreciate hey, you being guys, there, my man.
Biggest question I got, what's it going to take to get corporate, leniency on these out of the place here? We got to get Haslam out of here. Why do we need Haslam to make all the decisions for us?
I don't know. But they are trauma bonded to those people. And
I mean, aren't we one of the highest grossing college football programs in the country? Why do we need his $1 million to make all the decisions for us?
I would think that they've had a deleterious effect on this thing financially, to the point where they would almost be better off financially if those people were not involved at this point. I mean, I don't see how you could have a worse 10 years. Do you?
Absolutely not. I mean, we've seen what he can do with the NFL. To see what he's doing with our football program.
Yes.
It's crazy to me.
They passed on Carson Wentz and talked trash on him. They drafted Johnny Manziel, and joked about it and said, well, a homeless man told me to do it, thinking that was funny. I mean, who's laughing at that? And they passed on this kid to Sean Watson. They passed on Watson. I mean, that takes a special kind of moronic management to pass on those two guys.
That tells you what they're thinking about.
Absolutely.
That's right. Now, the next thing I'm wondering is if they do make a statement tomorrow about firing Coach Bush Jones, why do we have to keep him for the rest of the season?
I wouldn't. I fire him and he goes.
No, they don't have to keep him. It's just my opinion that that's what they will do.
Well, if they do, we surely can't promote Bob Shoup to interim head coach after today's defensive performance, giving up 50 points, probably 57 points to Missouri.
I think Orange Throw had a good idea on Friday in the blog at TonyBasilio.com. What you do is you take Philip Fulmer and you make him the interim, and then you let him manage that recruiting and just hang on there, be a caretaker, and it'd be a great way to heal some old wounds as well.
I mean, what's the best way to get recruits at this point? Because
you know
Philip Fulmer's not going to – they surely can't say, you know, we'll give you the rest of the season, and maybe if you do great for the next 2 weeks, we'll let you keep coaching, because you can't do that at this point.
No, you don't get new recruits now. You just hold on. That's all you can do is hold on.
And you know, the groomers are crazy. I mean, there's
– Yeah.
At this point, there's no way that a guy like John Gruden is gonna leave his freedom to come and coach for Tennessee and do that. It was just too much of a life change, in my opinion. I mean, when I watched the Mississippi State Alabama game, I'm thinking, you know, Dan Mullen has really improved his stock for this position, at least in my opinion.
Dan Mullen's stock has always been wonderful in my book. Before tonight, I don't care. I wouldn't have cared if they got blown out tonight. He's the second-best coach in this league. He has been the second-best coach in this league. And the truth is, he's going to continue to be the second-best coach in this league. He's just at a graveyard job. I would hire him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I don't think he wins Starkville either, long-term. I mean, is there any way we can get him, though? I mean, we don't have to be throwing $10 million at a guy like Dan Mullen, do we?
No. Absolutely not. No. Dan Mullen, I think, would be interested in this opportunity because of the opportunity that this place would afford him.
I think so, too.
And I would like him because he would not be a lapdog behind the scenes like my man Kim Jun has been. I mean, if the big-time people came around him, he'd say, hey, look, I'm here to coach football. Because that's his deal. You know, Dan Mullen did not get along with the people at Florida. That's why he's not up for the Florida job. He didn't get along with Scott Strickland, who's now Florida's 88, nor is Jeremy Foley fond of him, which is another reason why I like him. Those Florida people don't like him. He would be highly motivated to get over Florida in the East. And I think if you had Dan Mullen here, guys, he's 42 years old, and I said that if you hired him, if you say right now you'd hire him, in 10 years, how many division championships does Dan Mullen win in 10 years? To the caller, I ask you.
Eight.
Eight. Thanks for the call. I hope you're not driving. Bino, how many division championships does Dan Mullen win in 10 years?
If the division's like it is right now, 3 to 4.
Some moron just shot me a thing on Twitter, and it's fine. If you want to be moronic, be moronic. Dan Mullen is 2-15 in ranked matchups. Okay, John Hodge, what does that mean? He's at a damn graveyard! He's at a graveyard job! That they're ever even ranked is incredible. Don't you people understand that? And it's so unknowledgeable to not understand how good of a coach Dan Mullen is. Isn't that an unknowledgeable take, Bino? that he's got the worst record in AP Bowl history, 2-15 in ranked matchups. How unknowledgeable is that?
Well, he certainly hasn't had opportunity. You know, it's not like he was on equal footing whenever he played ranked teams. You know, it's not like he came in there with a highly ranked team himself most of the time. So I'd like to know what he was against ranked teams when Dak was there. I think that would be an interesting fair stat. I think Dan Mullen would do fine here. You know, he's, again, I'm a guy that wants a big name or a big upside, and maybe Mullen has a bigger upside than I think that he has, but I think he's a good, solid football coach, and he's a big-time Power 5 football coach, which Butch Jones never has been or ever will be.
Back to the phones we go. Yeah, Butch Jones is a rank amateur.
Yeah.
Let's get our next call in. If you had Dan Mullen here from Mississippi State, Tone, in 10 years, how many division championships could you win here?
We'd probably win about two.
I agree with that. Two or three.
I'd put two or three, yeah.
You know. Which would be great for me. Three and a half.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And the best thing is the players will develop. He'll develop the players, you know, our players. Yeah. You know, I mean, shoot, man.
Tone, you buying the groomers? You buying John Gruden coming here? You buying it, Tone? The VFLs believe it. Do you believe it, T? Albert Haynesworth believes it. He's full-on groomer.
Well, you know what? Gruden wasn't here when I was here. He
yes.
came after me. You
That's
know what
right.
I'm saying? So they would know more than I would. You know what I mean? Because
That's right.
they were with him. So, you know, I'm going to go with the guys and say, hey, you know, I'm down. I'm for it. I'm for it. You know, with him, recruiting would take care of itself because a lot of kids that decommit, that change their minds about coming to UT. We'll come back to UT.
Back to the phones we go.
Hey, Tony and T-Rob, real quick.
Yeah.
One trap we do not need to fall in, just simply because our timing's poor and we're going to make a coaching change in the first year that you've got an early signing period. We do not need to jump and get someone below the bar of where we need to go in order to save one recruiting class. We don't need to do that. We don't need to fall into that trap. We need the right guy.
865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction. GarzaLaw.com. The great Marcos Garza and his firm. They do such a tremendous job. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, y'all. This is Travis down here in Alabama.
Hey, T.
Just a couple quick things, and I won't take a bunch of your time. First of all, I just want to wish Happy Veterans Day to all my fellow veterans. Appreciate your service. And second, I'm a big fan of Dan Mullen. I live about three. I'm in Alabama, but I'm about 3 hours from Starkville. People in Knoxville have no clue what kind of facilities they have down there. It looks like the community college I went to when I got out of the military with a football stadium. I mean, it's an absolute dump. And I feel like the guy's a good developer of talent, and he's great with quarterbacks, and he always has a solid defense. And I just had a question for Beano. Beano, do you think if Mullen would have had Saban's talent tonight and Saban would have had Mullen's, what would the score have been in that ball game?
Well, I think Mullen wins the game. I think obviously he played them off their feet with a far diminished roster from what Saban had at hand. So I don't believe there's any doubt that Mullen wins the game with that roster.
I believe so too. I just think he does a good job doing more with less. And I understand recruiting is just a big important deal, but you know, we've kind of seen what scouts' opinion on a lot of stuff doesn't always pan out. I'm to the point now where we need a guy that can develop players, who can coach, who's confident. You know, I'm all for getting good recruits, and you need good recruiting. I'm not saying that, but there comes a point in time you got to develop players. And I just feel like, you know, Gruden would be great. I don't believe it's kind of a pipe dream, but if Tennessee's fans are so hell-bent on hiring a commentator, Tommy Tuberville's more qualified for the job than John Gruden.
Well,
but that's just my...
You're right. Tommy Tuberville, the thing about Gruden, and this is another thing that aggravates people about me, and get aggravated, but here's the point. John Gruden hadn't recruited a college football player in close to 30 years.
Yeah. exactly right.
And it's all about recruiting. You talk about player development, which it is about player development. When I think about Dan Mullen, I think about a guy who developed Alex Smith into being a first pick in the draft. I think about a guy who took Chris Leak and won a national championship with him. I think about a guy who turned Tim Tebow, who kind of could throw the ball, kind of not, into a folk hero. I think about a guy who took Dak Prescott, who was a one-and-a-half-star player, and turned him into an NFL prospect, and is doing the same thing with Nick Fitzgerald. But other than that, I'm not sure what else he's done. And quarterback, and Cam Newton. There you go. He developed him as well. Quarterback's the most important position in the world. And there's never been a time in football where quarterback is more important right now. Look at the NFL teams. Look at the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers. Look at them. Look at the Eagles before and after Carson Wentz. I mean, it's look at Beano's Colts with their guy hurt. And one thing you know about Dan Mullen, as long as you have him coaching you, you're going to have a damn good quarterback because he's going to develop him.
Well, I mean, you look in the East right now. I mean, if you've got good quarterback play and you can play solid defense, I mean, you know, you've got a chance. Look at Georgia tonight. I mean, they hadn't had to play. The kid hadn't had to throw the ball. And, you know, when he had to make throws, he couldn't do it. I mean, I just feel like if you had good quarterback play and solid defense, you give yourself a chance. I don't know. I'm just so over the Gruden stuff, guys. I'm kind of with you, Tony. I don't need a flashy celebrity. You know, we need a football coach. And that's just my take on it, guys. But I appreciate y'all taking my call.
Thank you, my friend. 865.
Guys, I think we're always going to have players here.
Yep.
I think this area, I believe this school, I believe this fan base, I believe it recruits for you. We need a football coach. I just don't believe that's going to be, with the explosion in the mid-state, it's easier here than it's ever been.
My man John Fritz reminded me of something tonight. While you think about our plight, I'd like to look at Nebraska's lost decade as well, Bino. They got beat tonight by Minnesota.
Yep.
56-21.
Yep.
You think there's a Nebraska fan alive that thought they'd live long enough to see Minnesota beat the hell out of them like that?
No. No way in the world.
And they have no chance.
There's not many Nebraska fans alive that thought they would ever even play Minnesota, let alone get thrashed by them.
What happened in the Wisconsin game, Wisconsin-Iowa?
Wisconsin wound up beating them pretty bad.
Okay. I hate to admit this, but I'm so despondent over what's happening with us that it's got me kind of in a bunker. I apologize for that. I need to be better about it.
It's got me watching everybody but us.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. Oh, I really enjoyed the early part of that Georgia-Auburn game today. I thought had the makings of a heavyweight matchup. Georgia just had a game where they made one mistake after another. You do that in a championship-level game, you're going to get trucked. And that's what happened. And that happened on both sides of the line of scrimmage for them. Let's go back to my house. Let's go back to my phones at 865-200. 5-4th. I could be roached. Somebody just wrote that they're concerned what Bocce Boy has done to me. Bocce Boy has turned me into a serious drinker.
Well, I tell you, Tony, what's certainly happened is the frustration and the anger level in every conversation is just in the red.
Yeah.
Just in the red. I mean, now everybody's got their own candidate for who's next, and if you don't agree with that candidate, then you're getting ready to get your ass chewed out because that's where Butch Jones has us.
And everybody's doing that.
Yeah, everybody. You know?
And certainly me. Everybody. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. And I did say everybody, Bino. Let's get our next call in here on your Garza Law 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. And our next caller, hello and welcome in.
Hey, guys, this is Jim Jellico. What's up?
That's really pathetic to call twice in one show. God, man, what's wrong with you, dude? Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, this is Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I was wondering, what do you think about Kiffin maybe going to Florida?
They would not have him.
You don't think so?
No, gosh, no.
He's got a recruiting head start there?
They wouldn't have him because of his personal life.
At Florida?
Yes, at Florida. They wouldn't have him.
Just thought I'd throw that in there because it sounds kind of interesting.
I'm glad they wouldn't. I'll tell you what, it scared me to death.
Oh, he would kill it there. Now we're having two different conversations. He would absolutely murder it at Florida. I don't think there's
he would.
He would be that incredible would, there.
It would bother us here at UT, I tell you. He was there.
Yeah.
And it would also get in the crawl of that coach at Ohio State, big time.
I don't know why it would bother them. He'd certainly be the best behaved person down there in Ben Hill Griffin.
That's a funny call.
Just thought,
hey, thank
just
you.
Just want to throw that in as a that's just kind of hit me. That might be a interesting wrench.
I would take Lane Kiffin here in 10 seconds. I'll tell you that because that's how desperate we are. And that's how desperate I am. Lane Kiffin could win. He would win big time here.
He would. I'm sorry to be kind of happen like it happened, back then. But
yep.
I was excited at the time because of, it was fresh.
Lane Kiffin, to quote my partner, you say it, and I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. Good talking
okay, man.
To you.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you. Bino, share what you said about Kiffin, because we interviewed him about a week and a half or so, about 2 weeks on Monday it'll be. What you said about Kiffin during his time.
It was the last time I was truly excited about Tennessee football is when he was here.
Tone from an offensive – go ahead.
The night that he left.
Yeah.
I was afraid because of the timing of it that it would be extremely difficult to overcome. I just didn't know how prophetic that was, unfortunately.
Tone, Lane Kiffin as an offensive coach, you like him?
I like him. I like Lane.
How would he do here if given a second opportunity? Could he do it with our personnel?
As an offensive coach?
I mean, as a head coach, yeah.
Well, Tony, I don't think they're giving that chance.
I know they're not.
I mean, with the talent we have, he would turn this thing around, T. I think he would turn it around, and it would be more exciting. We'll have a more exciting offense, and we'll have a better team than what we have now. Bino, I think so.
Bino, if you gave Lane Kiffin our current roster. Okay, or next year's roster, just projecting ahead a little bit, with his abilities, anything's better than this guy.
Much better. Much better than what we got. I mean, a whole lot better, T. 100% better than what we got right now.
What, Bino, does Lane Kiffin do if given the opportunity here? I know people are saying he's pathetic and... people are bombarding me, and I understand that. I understand he's not a choir boy, and he's kind of a scummy guy. I get that. But that's not the conversation we're having here. We're having a football conversation. Bino, how would he do?
He's not bringing his daddy back, right?
No, we're not going to let him bring his dad back.
Well, I mean, this year with this team, he would have beaten Florida, he would have beaten South Carolina, and he would have beaten Kentucky.
Yeah, definitely. He's a much better judge of he's a much better judge of talent than our present coach is.
He's a real offensive mind. Butch Jones is phony baloney as offensive mind as we've ever had here.
Oh,
what's interesting about Butch Jones, though, guys, is that he really fashions himself as an offensive mind.
Yeah, he's an offensive mind. Right?
If he was an offensive minded coach, check this out. Last year. Who bailed him out last year? Who bailed him out?
Dobbs bailed him. Dobbs is the only one that ever bailed him out.
Right. Dobbs bailed it out. Okay, now, if he was an offensive-minded coach, you don't have Dobbs this year. So, what do you do as an offensive-minded coach? You adjust your offense around your quarterback, who you have on your roster right now. You can't make these guys like Dobbs. They're nothing like Dobbs. So
that's right.
you got to adjust your offense around what you have. So you change your offense up. So what they do, what they can do best, you know. And to me, he doesn't judge. He's not a good judge of offense. He's not a good judge of talent, man. Period.
Let's get our.
He's from the cradle of offensive minds, Ferris State.
Hey, Bean.
He's from the offensive mind of the MAC. He's not in the offensive mind of the SEC.
Bino broke it down on him and called him Mackie Mouse a couple years ago. It's one of the funniest
Mickey Mouse.
One of the funniest things I've ever heard. On the way out, Bean Star, for you, give me a final thought.
Well, Tony, it's like we said off the top. We've now gone an entire calendar year playing lousy football. We unfortunately found out what he didn't stay at Central Michigan and Cincinnati long enough to find out, and that's that he cannot maintain a program. He can't maintain it. When's enough? If there's not an announcement made tomorrow, it's truly a shame that there isn't, because there's no reason to go on any further with this charade.
Thank you, Bean Star. Well put.
Take care, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bean Star has left the building. Let's bring the great Nathaniel Rutherford in here. You bow your head when you say his name, RockyTopInsider.com. And Nathaniels, I welcome you in. How you doing, my man?
Tony, I'm tired, but I'm doing well.
Beautiful, brother. Let me get you adjusted. I'd like your thoughts on what we saw tonight, Nathaniel, and we'll go back to the phones.
Tony, what we saw tonight was an embarrassment of epic proportions. It's something that Tennessee football should never, ever have fallen to. This is rock bottom for now. I mean, the only way it's going to get worse is if they make history and they lose eight games and they go win this in the SEC. But right now, I mean, this is bad. That 600 yards of offense they gave up, 400 yards rushing. I mean, this season, you've seen Tennessee give up 535 yards to Georgia Tech and now 433 to Missouri on the ground. And this Missouri team was known for their passing. I mean, yeah, their running game had looked good the past 3 weeks, but they came in known for their passing. At least Georgia Tech was known for running, and you're thinking, okay, that's an option offense. It's an offense that's hard to block against, hard to defend. It makes it's a little more. It's still very hard to swallow, but it makes it a little easier pill to swallow when it's Georgia Tech doing it. This is a Missouri team that was 4-5 coming into this game, their first SEC win last week against Florida. And they come in and they just make Tennessee look silly. If not for that pick six by Najee Warrior, I mean, Tennessee's lucky to score double digits in this game. It's an absolute abject embarrassment. And Butch Jones and this staff and everything has turned Tennessee not only into a laughingstock around the country, but just an absolute just, I mean, they're worse than dirt. I mean, they are primordial. Soup at this point. It's disgusting. This product where Tennessee fans have had to watch this season.
It really is. And for our management, for lack of a better term, but our money folks, to put the fan base through this after the Georgia game, when everybody knew this thing was not going to get better, what in the hell did we just do that for the last month? Why? How much better do we deserve? Does the Tennessee fans, the Tennessee family deserve than to have to sit there and watch Missouri tonight kneel down with 50 points? I mean, beam me up,
Tony,
Scotty.
It should have been 57. They that one touchdown that they called back at the end there, he didn't step out of bounds. It should have been 57-17. I mean, it should have been worse.
Let's go back to our phones, get our next call in. Anything else, Nathaniel? Anything about Jones, groomers, where we are, when the announcement is? What do you think?
Yeah, I've heard you all talk about, I heard Bino say that he actually kind of thinks he's going to be gone now. I'm still holding on to the idea that he's here till the end of the season, but he's 100% not here for 2018. But I'm holding on to the idea that the soonest you're going to hear an announcement will be after the LSU game, because at that point Tennessee is 100% not bowl eligible. They're essentially not bowl eligible right now, but there's still that tiny, tiny chance they beat LSU next week. So I it could happen. I you know, for Vol fans' sake, for the sake of the program, I hope it happens this weekend. But I'm still thinking at the earliest it's going to be after LSU. But I genuinely think he's going to be here, you know, after the Vanderbilt game. At that point, they pull the plug.
865-200-5402. I think they're going to have an announcement tomorrow. Whether or not
right.
he coaches wrestle at. Yeah, I just have a – just talking to a couple people today, and just the instinct, the thought was – after a couple conversations I had was, if it gets bad enough, and it's about to get bad, and this was bad enough tonight, I would say.
If it gets bad enough.
that's what I was told this morning. If it gets bad enough, I think that qualifies. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, it's BP from AZ. How are you?
Hey,
tonight?
BP and AZ, welcome in. You've got Nathaniel Rutherford from RTI, RockyTopInsider.com, and the great Tony Robinson as well.
How about you, T-Rob? How are you tonight?
I'm fine, my brother. How you doing?
We're just hanging on out here.
Yep, same
hey,
here.
I tell you, Tony, it was up here, and it was 85 degrees out here. How was it back there in Tennessee today?
Pretty nice day here. Yeah. Mid-50s, probably in the 40s right now. Feels pretty good outside.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, it's been hard as a Tennessee fan out here. You know, It's been really tough, because I've been telling a lot of my coworkers over the last few weeks that Butch Jones has had he's at his end as far as the rope as being a head coach at Tennessee, and over the last couple of weeks they've proved me wrong. But is this the weekend that I can finally say that Butch Jones is going to be the last weekend that I can say that Butch Jones is going to be the head coach at Tennessee?
It's my feeling that that's going to happen. Again, I don't have any tremendous revelatory reporting to do on that, only to say I talked to two people today close to the HOH who told me that they're about ready to give up the ghost on this guy, from the standpoint that they don't think he's rehabable in terms of just all the pressure and all the calls. And see, the emails and the messages and all that stuff works. And it has a cumulative effect. And if enough people tell you that they're tired of something, most human beings want to placate others. And I don't think this is any different. I don't think this thing is any different here. And I think we've all collectively and cumulatively had enough of Butch Jones football. I know I have.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I mean, you honestly at this side of the country, like we, I mean, I hate to say it, but we are the laughing stock of the NCAA. I mean, when you have ESPN analysts go out there on game day and make fun of your program, you know, that doesn't feel good. I mean, honestly, it really makes you think, like, is this guy really the next guy to take you to the next step? And Butch Jones is not that guy. We can all agree on that guy. So we can all collectively think, who is the next guy to come in and to take place, and who is the next guy to really bring us to the next step? And I understand that I don't think you think it's Groomers, but I'm going to throw a name out there that you may or may not like. What about Justin Fuente up there at Virginia Tech? What do you like about him?
I like him. I like his offensive mind. I like what they do at Memphis. I think he's worth looking at. The problem you have with Fuente is, does he have enough of a track record? Do you hire a guy, Tone, that you're talking about Fuente? I'm sorry. You're talking about the guy from Virginia Tech? He's not gettable.
Virginia Tech.
No, he's not gettable. Tennessee's not going to pay that kind of money. I thought you were talking about the guy at Memphis. I'm sorry.
No, I don't.
It's late.
I don't want Mike Norvell.
Fuente I would take if I could get him. The problem is you're talking about $25 or $30 million just to get in that game. Tennessee's not doing that. You got to buy his whole staff out. That's the way his buyout's written. That's a lot of money, man, for these guys. A lot of money.
They're not going to go for that.
Not doing that.
And has he coached in the SEC?
No.
Okay. Well, that kills my thought right
yes.
there. I have nothing else.
And that's a great point. That's a great point.
I mean,
have you coached in the Southeastern Conference?
He did win at Memphis, and if you can win at Memphis, you can win anywhere.
Oh,
Am I right about that?
Listen, I agree with that. And he beat a very good Ole Miss team, one of the best teams money could buy. It was a classic game 2 years ago. Make no mistake about it.
But the SEC.
But
SEC's a different animal, Tone. You're right.
Yeah.
The Haslams won't pay that kind of money.
No, they are not paying. That school is not going to pay in excess of $20 million to get a guy out of a deal. They're just not. It's just not who they are.
And he's
when are the Haslams going to step out of the way, Tony? Are they going to step out of the way?
No, they will not step. No, they love it. They're not stepping out of the way.
I mean, it's just really frustrating to watch. I mean, you look at the Browns, and the Browns are just a laughing stock of the NFL. And just to think that the owners of that particular team are the ones that may or may not make the next hire at Tennessee, it's just really depressing. It really is. Because here on the West Coast and having pride in the University of Tennessee, and then all these people are sitting there thinking, well, you know, the Haslams are at the helm of naming your next football coach,
right.
And yet they have ownership of the laughing stock of the NFL. I mean, go back to the last 5 years, they have the worst record. And I mean, I don't think it really even takes a genius. I mean, it doesn't take a genius. It takes any sane person to run an NFL team that could probably beat the Haslams at the Browns.
Dude,
I mean,
in the last 45 games, they've won 4 games.
They had a shot.
They're
they had
4
a shot
and
at
41.
Watson. They had a shot at Deshaun Watson.
How can you pass
the best
Deshaun
player
Watson?
in the last?
That's just insane,
draft.
Man. That's insane.
They had 2 shots at him in the last draft. The thing about them is they continue to get it wrong. And they've continued to get it wrong here. And nobody will stand down with them in our booster
nobody
base.
Nobody will stand up to them.
And say, enough's enough.
Yeah.
If you love something, why is Tony Basilio the only voice saying that?
Oh.
If you love something, set it free. Show me you love it. Show me you don't have to be in total control of it.
Show me you can let go. You can let go.
Yeah.
Let go. You know what I'm saying? Show me.
I'll continue to pay
enough.
You. I'll continue to hey.
Show me
you're
mad enough
to
let it go.
But I'm mad enough to say I can't do this.
Yeah.
We as a family, we've gotten this wrong. And tell people that. Tennessee deserves better.
Hey,
we'll all applaud. Everybody would applaud that. Wouldn't you applaud that where you are in Arizona?
Oh, trust me. I've had coworkers come up to me and say TJ Fleck is your next head coach. And I have laughed at them in their face. And I've told them, I said, seriously, do you really understand what we have gone through over the last 5 years? I said, we're tired of the gimmicks. We're tired of, I'm sorry, but the bullshit. I said, PJ Fleck, he might be a good coach down the road, but we're tired of the bullshit. We need a coach to come in here and to really, I mean, as Al Davis said, just win. Just win. And winning will take care of itself down the road. I mean, I hate to really use Alabama as an example, but
okay.
They paid the big bucks 10 years ago. Saban has made that 50, maybe 100 times that in the last 10 years. And their university is flourishing. I mean, it's really bad because, and I really hate to use that because my parents are Alabama grads. And I texted them about the Alabama-Mississippi State game tonight, and I love my mother to death, but she said Alabama is losing this game because they're overconfident. And I was just stop. Just stop.
Hey, I hope you have a great one, man. I know one thing. I'd love to be overconfident again. I'm not sure when Tennessee's going to get to the point where they're overconfident. 865-200-5402. Nathaniel, let me ask you something. He was talking about Fuente, and I think that buyout that he's going to have, I think that's just too big. Would Tennessee get involved there if they could, or do you think, like me, that when you're talking north of 20 mil, that's too much?
Yeah, I think it's too much. When you're already going to have to, you know, pay Butch Jones' buyout, pay his assistants' buyouts, I think you're looking at somewhere around 14 million. If you don't retain, you know, if you don't retain a Gillespie or retain someone else, you're going to pay upwards of $14 million for that. Yeah, you throw in that buyout with him, and because I don't think you're going to be able to negotiate with Virginia Tech for them to, you know, take any of that on. I don't know why they would. So I think that kind of excludes him from the conversation, which is unfortunate because he's a really good coach. But I agree. I think that buyout kind of makes him a no-go. Unless, you know, Tennessee wants to show they can pony up and they're going to throw money out at all this. But I'm with you. I think that buyout kind of just puts him further down the list.
Where's Tennessee go when this thing opens? What do you think happens?
I think personally, one of the first calls they're going to make, if it's not John Gruden, unless, you know, if the rumors are true, that'd be fantastic. But I think Dan Mullen is one of the top options you're going to hear. And I think he's a good option. You and I've talked about before, Tony, I think Mullen's a really good coach. He showed tonight, obviously Mississippi State couldn't get the job done against Bama, who has over the past 5-6 years. But he did a really good job, especially with that Mississippi State team that, you know, this year, I don't think they're a top 15 team like they were ranked, kind of. They're number 16. He did a really good job coaching them up and getting them in that game for the entire game, and it took a Alabama just driving down the field late in the fourth quarter. But I think Dan Mullen would be one of the top options. I think you look at some other names too. Jeff Brohm, I wouldn't mind be on the list possibly. I don't know about T. Martin. I think he's the one guy at Vol fan that you would say, yeah, I would like to have him, that doesn't have head coaching experience, just because there's the obvious ties to Tennessee. He's coached in the SEC as an assistant before at Kentucky. But I think Dan Mullen's one of the top names. I think you should call Chip Kelly. I don't know if they will, but I think you should call Chip Kelly for sure. At least have him tell you no before you move on to someone else.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. Somebody asked me about Greg McElroy's comments about the empty kneeling deal, and he had some rather strong and harsh things to say. Greg McElroy, I think he's a fine broadcaster. He does a really nice job with the SEC Network. It's real easy when you're a Bammer and when a cataclysmic failure for you is trailing into the fourth quarter against Mississippi State, to tell a fan base that now owns a losing streak against everybody in the Southeastern Conference, it's real easy to tell them how to behave. The one voice fans get, and I didn't agree with it, is boycotting. It's the one voice that we have. It's the one mechanism that exists to show displeasure and to do it in a way that's clean, loud, and concise, staying away from a football game en masse. I'll say this. If Tennessee does not do the right thing in the next day and terminate Butch Jones and continue to put this fan base through it, they are risking having an embarrassingly low turnout for that LSU game. And that's a damn shame, because the schedule as it laid this year, Tony, was already terrible. That's a terrible home schedule we've seen.
Man.
I mean, terrible. Georgia is the only really true football team that's been here.
And Georgia's not a 41 point.
And they're not 41 points better than the Vols.
Yeah.
But LSU is the only, it's the second real team that's come into Neyland Stadium this year. And it'd be a shame if people stayed away from that game. You know that, Nathaniel?
I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen to you.
No, I think because this guy's going to be gone.
Our fans are much better than that team. And, you know, it's like, you know, we got the best fans in the world, I always say.
Tony, how about the people we had tonight at the watch party? It was incredible.
It was incredible. Yeah,
believe that?
I mean, it was
packed. Was full.
Yeah, it was full.
I mean, and for what?
Fans, and our fans are going to show up next this Saturday, yep. next Saturday, at that game. And, you know, I'll be there. So, you know, they're going to show up. They're going
to
show up.
Let's go back to our phones.
They'll be there.
Nathaniel, what do you say? Because I was not an empty kneeling guy. I just can't do that to kids.
No, no.
But, Nathaniel, I'm not going to tell a fan how to behave, and I'm sure not going to come down on them like McElroy did. Like, I mean, dude, that's so damn easy for you to say. Your team is set on world dominance. Our team is set on fertilizing the world. Like you said earlier, dirt. Cat dirt, horse dirt, you know, dog dirt.
Yeah, that's exactly how I took the stand on it, too. I'm not going to tell fans how to act, do what they do. It's their money. They can spend it how they want to. They can use it how they want to. I was 100% for their right to do that. I didn't feel great about it because of the players, as you said. But at the same time, I understood where the fans are coming from. That's, as you said, that's kind of the one main way that isn't dangerous, isn't dirty, isn't bad, that they can show their displeasure. And it would, if Neyland Stadium had been partially empty during that game, it would have been on national television. It would have sent a message nationally to everyone watching it saying, look, all fans are fed up. So I get it. Like you said, I was not 100% for it. I definitely was not against it because I absolutely understood where the fans are coming from there.
865-200-5402. Anybody that, well, let me go back to the phones. I got to get calls in. I'm sorry to our callers. It's not very unkind to me. Hello to our next caller, Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction. Thank you, Marcos Garza, for allowing us to keep the action going tonight. Hello to our next caller.
What's going on, Basilio?
Hey, Jeff.
Yep, thank you to Marcos Garza for letting you guys have this. 3 points, Basilio. First was going back to last week in the Southern Miss game and the empty Dalen thing. There's not a stadium in America that's easier to disguise the attendance than Neyland Stadium because the way you're cramped in there. And if 60 to 65,000 people is a great attendance, then that's what we got last week. Number two is what a disservice that the House of Haslam and John Curry has done to this football team by not canning, by not sacking Butch Jones after that Georgia game and giving him any chance of getting to a bowl game. Just pathetic. And number three, and Tony, I'm just going to have to disagree with you when it comes. Listen, I'm not getting my hopes up when it comes to John Gruden, but it takes an absolute moron not to think that that guy would be one hell of a college football coach.
Well, I'm a moron because it's
well,
all.
Well, I guess you are.
Well, let me tell you this.
The year before he took over the Raiders, they were 4-12. Okay, and they were the damn tuck rule away from getting to a Super Bowl and probably winning it that year. And then the year that he took over Tampa Bay, everybody talks about Tony Dungy. What was Tampa Bay the year before Gruden took over and won the Super Bowl? Do you know what their record was? 9-7. And they went 12-4 and won the Super Bowl that year. And everybody acts like he's just like some celebrity that's never done nothing. He won 5 division titles in 11 years in a Super Bowl in the toughest damn league in the history of sports.
And it's not college football.
It doesn't matter.
It does matter. No, it does matter. No,
that guy could sit in any living room he wanted to and get the attention of recruits.
It does matter from this standpoint. You got to now hang on. You got to really love.
You're going to tell me that Dan Mullen's a better choice.
Do I get to?
Good Lord,
no. Do I get to talk or no? I didn't say Dan Mullen. Here's the rub on him. This is what makes Saban so special. He not only recruits, but he's a habitual, voracious, ass-kissing recruiter. He never stops recruiting. They never stop recruiting. If you can tell me John Gruden's going to be the same, then more power to you.
I've never heard that about Nick Saban except anybody except you, Tony.
Okay. So he does not recruit hard?
Oh, I'm not disputing that he closes the deal.
Well, wait, no. Not only does he not close the deal, all he does is recruit. That's all they do. His whole organization is set up around that. He works harder at it than anybody. That's why they get players. It's not his celebrity. It's because he works harder at it than anybody.
I disagree with that completely.
I know that's
and
a
I'm
fact.
Not, and
I don't disagree with
part.
Any of that. I know
winning,
that's a fact.
Winning cuts off to the bullshit.
Well, obviously.
Winning. He's a winner. He wins. He wins games. And, I mean,
Saban
kids wants to play for a winner.
He's like Mike Krzyzewski, Tony. He, all he has to do is walk in that house and talk to recruits, and he's going to have one hell of a chance to sign him because he's a winner, just like Tony just said.
It's just about winning, man. I don't, Tony, when you're a winner, if you're winning and you're winning championships, kids will want to play for you, especially when they know they can play as a freshman. Okay, if you're capable of playing, but when you're not winning, I don't care how good you are.
The thing I don't get. Winning,
what other coach, Basilio, has the chance to walk in a player's living room, give him his resume, and then also talk about the connections he has with every team in the NFL, his brother being a head coach, and saying, son, if you want to get to that level, I can help you get there.
If you work hard and you do like I say, and if I think you're a player, I'm
going
to play you.
Every major college football coach right now has connections without them. I mean, it's just the way. The feeder system for the NFL.
Yeah,
James Franklin could have the same.
Not concept. At that level, Tommy.
James Franklin.
Lord,
wait a
son,
second.
What are you, I mean,
James Franklin. You don't. Who's the better college football coach, James Franklin or that guy, or John Gruden?
I tell you what, if both of them are standing right in front of me and I have to pick one, there's not even a doubt who I would. And I think James Franklin's a hell of a football coach.
That's silly.
There's no doubt who I'd.
The guy has never coached.
Doesn't matter in
current college.
He's won at the highest level you can ask for.
And what happened to him? And what
son?
Happened to him at Tampa?
You, huh?
And they loved him so much with the Oakland Raiders that they traded him. And what happened with him at Tampa?
What did the Raiders
what did
do
Chris Landry? What did Chris Landry write about John Gruden and how difficult his stuff is to get? You which know. On the collegiate level. I'm going to tell you something, Brock. It's a different
coaching,
deal.
Just, yeah, coaching the pros and college.
It's two different things.
Because I tell you, Spurrier. I think Spurrier's one of the best offensive minds
cause
he, there is.
Because he simplified but, things
exactly
in college.
Right. Yeah, I agree
see,
with you. Spurrier can win big in college, and he couldn't win in the NFL. Just like Pete Carroll couldn't win in the NFL. Guess what? John Gruden could.
Yeah, but it's a two different
the
game.
The toughest league.
Wait,
you,
time
you
out.
Deal with kids.
No,
you deal with kids, and then you deal with grown men.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Brock. This guy's meant. This guy. You guys are projecting a lot on to John Gruden. That's not there. You just are. If you talk
what
to people,
am I
you're the problem with John Gruden, Jeff, is that he. It's football 24/7. You can't do that at the collegiate level. You got to make your schemes so that people can understand them and digest them. I'm just telling you what guys like Chris Landry, this is not me. This is Chris Landry, who's a longtime NFL scout, steeped in both sports, who says John Gruden to the NFL, to the college football is not a good idea. First of all, his personality with a modern athlete wouldn't work. He's like the guy at Michigan. The guy at Michigan burns people out. He's already burning people up there at Michigan.
He's mama and daddy.
I'm sorry. He's
not a slam dunk. You guys project Saban onto him. Saban, when he came back, already had rebuilt LSU and was a national championship coach. John Gruden has as many college wins as I do. The number zero. I'm sorry.
And how many college games has he coached?
Well, that's the point. That's right. So you want to put you want to lay that you want to lay that at the hands of a guy. You want to and by the way, all these kids that are going to kiss his ring and all these wait a second. And all these kids
Bill Belichick
all these kids that are going to supposedly kiss his ring were like 4 years old.
The last time he held his.
You don't think they know him from the Monday Night Football? You don't think they know him as a Super Bowl?
Yeah, they know
coach?
Him as the guy that runs
Are
his mouth.
High?
They know him as the guy that runs his mouth. They know Nick Saban as a guy who's going to put him in the first round of the draft. I mean, you guys want to project this on him?
If you were to pick a Dan Mullen over John Gruden as the coach, and here you are making fun of the Cleveland Vols for picking Carson, not choosing Carson Wentz and friggin' Deshaun Watson. Are you kidding me?
Dan Mullen is a sure thing as an NFL coach. John Gruden is a gamble.
Oh, I've heard it all.
Oh, no. Oh, so John Gruden is a sure thing in the NFL. He's a sure thing.
In college
football.
As close as we could possibly get.
No.
And number two, a distant second would be Bob Stoops if he ever wanted to get back.
Bob Stoops has not gone back, and you know the story behind him. His father died at the age of 57, and he's done coaching. That's the deal.
I agree with that. That's why I said I think if he wanted to be back in the game, he'd be a distant second. But to pick Dan Mullen, Justin Fuente, any of these guys, or John Gruden, would be the dumbest damn move.
Hang on, John Gruden, but all we had that talk, John Gruden's fantasy anyway. Ain't happening.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just disagreeing with your premise that he would be a question mark at the college. Listen, nothing's guaranteed.
Right.
I firmly agree with that.
Right.
But the closest that Tennessee could get to a home run hire would be John Gruden, and there's absolutely no doubt about it.
He would win the press conference. John Gruden or Lane.
And he'd win a hell of a lot of football games, and he would win a hell of a lot of recruits.
John Gruden.
Because guess what? He's John Gruden at the University of Tennessee.
John Gruden or Lane Kiffin?
Well, it's Gruden, and I love Kiffin. I'd take him back in a damn heartbeat. Yeah. I've told you that 100 times.
Hey, thank you, brother. Good talking to you. Right, I love a debate. Nathaniel, where are you on that? Because I don't think Gruden's a slam dunk. I know that makes people mad. I just mean if they hired him, they'd win the press conference, but I'm not sure. I think that's a huge gamble.
I'm with you. I think it's a gamble. I think it's one that could definitely work out for Tennessee, though. I think he has a lot of questions. As you said, I think he wins the press conference. I think he's a home run hire initially. I think he's a guy that's going to grab millions of headlines when he gets here. I just think there's a lot of questions for him. I'm not 100% sold he's going to be, you know, a knock out of the park after just the initial hire. I don't know, you know, how well he's going to come in and coach. I think also with him, you're going to offer him so much money for him to be head coach. How much money are you willing to spend after that on assistants and his staff? I think if Tennessee, you know, if they're hiring him, they're saying, you know, we're a little more willing to spend money on the coaching staff too. But I wonder how much more you'll have to, you know, spend on his staff. I agree. I don't think he's a bad hire. I don't think he's a, you know, he could potentially be a fantastic hire. I think he has a very, very high ceiling. I think he also has a really, really low floor. I just think he has a lot of questions. I would say it'd be a good hire initially for Tennessee, but there are just a lot of things he'd have to prove to me that, as you said, he's, you know, coaching the NFL is very different than coaching the college. Just because you have success in the NFL doesn't mean you're going to be a successful college coach.
Tony,
So I think that we'll have to see.
Tony, elaborate on that. You've been trying to jump in there. Go ahead. What?
Yeah.
Because Chris Landry says that it's far too intricate what John Gruden likes to do offensively.
Okay.
And could he adjust on the collegiate level and when you have 20 hours a week to work with kids?
Right. And, you know, there's a big difference coaching grown men and college kids, because now you got a lot of different personalities you got to deal with. These kids, you got to deal with these kids. So you got to deal with these kids' problems here and there, but also, can they grasp the system? Okay, can they grasp the system? And I mean, I'm all for it with Gruden. I'm all for Gruden, but it's just a big difference, college and pros. Steve Spurrier, for example, you know, he tried the pros. He didn't have much success in the pros. But in the college game, he's the best I know. He's one of the best, man. I love Coach Spurrier. He's a great college coach. But like I say, Gruden, I'm all for it. But you know, it's a difference. It's a big difference, man.
It's apples to orange difference.
Yeah,
and
big difference.
Let me bring Jerry Colquitt in now, who joins our panel, the former Vol quarterback, also who coached here, coached at Ole Miss, and played with the Carolina Panthers, coached with the Seattle Seahawks as well, did advanced scouts as well, did on our website until he just got disinterested in Butch Jones football. And Jerry... It does not take much, no. But Jerry told me about a month ago, he said, if you think I'm going to keep writing about this straight garbage, you're temporary out your mind.
It makes Jerry something. Jerry.
Yeah, Tony.
What did you like tonight about McBride? You like what you see tonight?
To me, he has some suddenness about him. I like his sense of timing. You can tell, although a lot of the times it's not necessarily the right thing to do, which I think a lot of that is just experience and just his overall just grasp of the wealth of knowledge and plays in his mind. But I like about him, I do think that you can tell he has the right sense of when to do something with the ball. Either it's out of his hands or he'll try and tuck it and run it. Now, when you're dealing with probably 5% of the playbook, and you're just thrown in the situation that he's been thrown in, it's really kind of unfair to totally judge him in a negative way, but you can see some of his skill sets, especially here. What is it? This is the second start. But again, what we're seeing here is not even his fault. I do think he'll get better. And it'll be interesting to see if the guy, really has a chance, because it almost seems like with, Garantano, a lot of, him, being out there almost seemed, almost predetermined, because now when you look at it, hey, as far as where McBride is and where we thought Garantano would be, and Garantano obviously has not progressed as much as we thought he would have in year and a half, right. Year two, you wonder why McBride hadn't tried to prep him a little bit more as that number two guy coming into this season, if we haven't seen any more from Garantano.
Right.
Hey Jerry, what'd you think of that shot? What'd you think of that shot McBride took on the goal line? And then we'll go back to our phones. And I'll ask you about that as well, Nathaniel. That was a nasty. I'm talking with like 3.5 minutes to go in the game down there around the goal line. That was a nasty shot he took, and I was surprised he stayed in the game. I'm concerned about that kid. I don't know who's working with our young quarterbacks, but they got to teach these guys to protect themselves, because somebody's going to get killed in Orange.
Tony, to me, the worst shot was the one that he took, the helmet to the head, the one where you and I were talking.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Right.
That was not in the goal line, though. That was out in the field. Tony, he couldn't get up. To me, I thought they were going to call a timeout, or you would have had one of those deals where somebody spotted it.
Yep.
From the replay booth.
Not a good look.
And especially after the whole ordeal of the offensive lineman at halftime and this and that, you would have thought somebody would have went down there and go, hey, Coach Jones, you can't put McBride back in this game right now. You got to go to another option. But I was really surprised that they threw him back in there right when he took that helmet to head shot, smack center in the face. And it was right in front of the Tennessee sideline, which was even more crazy. So it's not like one of these deals where you got, what, 9-10 linemen piled up in a bunch and you don't know where that hit came from. Tony, it was obvious, this one, where this kid's out in the pocket trying to escape, and they get him. And everybody that was watching that game saw that shot. It was clean. So there was really no reason why however their method of communication is, where it didn't get to Coach Jones really quickly.
Nathaniel, what did you make of that shot? It wasn't a good look for Tennessee. That kind of scared me.
So I've been scared this whole season of these guys taking hits. If it's not been Dormady, it's been Garantano. If it's not been Garantano, it's been Will McBride. I mean, these guys have just consistently just been taking shot after shot. I mean, I'm with you. I was concerned for Garantano's health. I'm concerned for Will McBride's. I'm concerned for the health of any quarterback that's suiting up for Tennessee right now, because this offensive line is such a patchwork that it doesn't matter who you have back there. If you have Michael Vick back there, he's not going to be able to escape. Josh Dobbs is not going to be able to escape as much as, you know, you would need him to for him not to get just absolutely just mauled game in and game out. I mean, these guys are literally just putting their health on the line game in and game out. More, you know, every single game they obviously are, but more than usual, because it's just this offense isn't good, and this offensive line is having to play so many young guys because of all the injuries that, I mean, these guys are just getting just knocked around out there. It is scary to watch.
865-200-5402. So congratulations there by listening. You've lived long enough to see Tennessee have a losing streak against every SEC opponent, which means it can only get better from here.
So let's we cannot lose.
Let's get back to our phones.
We got to win one game. We got to win one.
We'll beat Vanderbilt.
We got to. God.
We'll beat Vanderbilt. Go 0-8. Make it a clean sweep. Let's get our next call in. I mean, if you're gonna suck, I mean, make history. You know. Let's get our next call in. Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction. Jerry Clinton, Nathaniel Rutherford, who joins Tony Robinson. My name is Tony Basilio, and then our next caller, welcome in.
Hey, Tony and Jerry and Nathaniel.
Hey, Jeeker, great Tony, job last night on the Clonecast.
Hey, I hadn't even listened to it or participated.
You did a great job. You did a great job. Your dog was featured on there as well. I thought you did a terrific job last night. You even broke a groomer at the end.
Hey, well, how about Jerry's laugh tonight? We've got that live and in concert. I love it, Jerry. Hey, Jerry, I laughed the same way just a few minutes ago when Tony Basilio just disrespected and made a fool of himself with the way he argued with Jeff Brock. Jeff Brock's a Hall of Fame host of the Saturday Conversation, and he was spot on with Nick Saban. Nick Saban, all he's got to do is walk into the damn living room and say, sign right here with what he's built. And John Gruden would be the exact same way. And Tony, you just made a fool out of yourself arguing with Brocky like that and disrespecting that guy. If I didn't know better, I'd think you were talking to me. Cut me off.
Y'all, I got up to take a leak. Jerry, can you say something with this guy? Can you guys respond to him, or do I have to do everything around here? Tony, you respond? Can somebody say something? I took a leak for 10 seconds. I mean, damn it. Nathaniel, could you say something? Can any of you clowns do something without me here?
He called you out, Tony.
I know he called me out, but can't you defend me?
I'm still here.
Dude, I'm over here trying to take a leak. And Jeeker's attacking me. I'm over there doing number one. I don't hear Nathaniel getting my back.
I got you back. You didn't have me plugged in.
I'm talking. Jerry Colquitt's over there like a damn mime.
Hey, T-Rob, you go first.
Jerry.
Jerry,
Tony,
let's go.
Hang on.
Okay, I embarrassed my. Let's get the rubber meat in the road here. Nathaniel agrees with me that John Gruden's not a slam dunk, and he's not Nick Saban.
I'm still here, Tony.
All right, quit annexing. I hear you, unfortunately.
Quit annexing
Nick Saban's success for John Gruden. That's two different conversations. John Gruden, Tony, you'll grant me that, right?
Okay. You know,
Nathaniel's an idiot too.
Hang on,
man. You know
that's pretty harsh.
You can't compare Gruden to Saban, okay?
No.
Even though Gruden won a Super Bowl, but you got to look at Nick Saban, his track record.
Yes.
LSU, Alabama. I mean, you know, the guys are tremendous coaches. Now, Gruden, he took over a team from Tony Dungy.
Right.
Hey,
Tony. Even though they were 9-7,
they were on the run.
But that team was up and coming. and group
no, Tony, in. Tony, but, the Raiders, if he hadn't left the Raiders, he would have beat Tony Dungy to death.
He took Tony Dungy's players
and beat his
and
own
got,
team.
And he got fired 3 years later. Because he's so great. Because he's infallible. And you, Jerry, you say what about John Gruden, who's not going to be a coach here, but let's just say he was. Is he the is it a be all end all slam dunk that everybody's making it out to be?
I think if you could get him to campus, yes, Tony. I think on a football competency level. But therein lies the problem. I don't think we have the competence to even know how to eat them together. Now, if you're talking about just coach for coach competency versus the other best coach in the league, Tony, let me tell you, John Gruden, and I've seen this, and I know firsthand from this experience out here in the, because when I started in Seattle, we were in the AFC West. We were, it was Seattle, Denver, Kansas City, San Diego, and the Raiders. And let me tell you, if you don't have competent defensive coaching facing John Gruden will slice you another behind, if you know what I'm saying. He will eat you alive. And it takes – I've seen our guys have more preparation going into games against John Gruden when he coached for the Raiders, Tony, than really any other team because he will utilize every square into that football field in ways where it would challenge you defensively, the guys that he's playing against. Now, and here's the thing about recruiting. A lot of people don't know this, Tony. When you go into a draft, and I have six under my belt, all you're doing during the offseason, Tony, is evaluating and selling free agencies, that are vouching and trying to come to your team. You have to sell that program, and all the selling goes right through the head coach. Tony, when you go into the draft, all you're doing is putting together, and the way those Green Bay guys do it, that Green Bay family tree of guys, it is so intricate that it's pretty much the same process that you go through when you do the evaluations and you put your recruiting board together. A lot of it is done the same exact way. So no one can tell me that this guy can't recruit if you just hired him. To me, it's just a matter of him just being hired or not. But can he recruit? Of course he can recruit. Of course he can sell a program. But it's just a matter of can you get him to campus in the first place. I don't think
so. You agree with me. See, he agrees with me, Nathaniel. Nathaniel, he's with me and you, Nathaniel.
Hey, I get it. I want to resist. Like I said, I'm with you. I don't know. He'll win the press conference to win the headlines, but he's yet to. He has to prove it to me on the field.
I mean, Butch Jones has won more college wins than he does.
Tony, you and Nathaniel are the two dumbest guys in the room. Y'all have a good night. And Tony, Jerry, I want to hear you laugh one more time.
Well, you're out of here.
You'll hear me laugh when I'm on the show with you every Thursday. if you know what I mean.
His appearance last night on the Clone Cast, that he has no idea what we're talking about. Jigger. The clone at one point was going. He was having an argument with fake Jimmy Hines. He was going, "Hey, big boy. Hey, big boy." Oh, my gosh. You know, the whole Gruden thing, it makes me smile. It makes me laugh. Let's go back to the phones. What did you call our football program, Nathaniel, when you first came on here? Tell Jerry what we look like tonight.
I said it was worse than dirt. I said it was primordial. It was so bad. It was below dirt. It was, you know, getting down to the just disgusting things you see in the sewer is essentially what it is.
Jerry, can you believe how far we've fallen? I mean, what the Johnner has done to the program. KJJ, as we call him in these parts when it gets early in the morning. I mean, Kim Jong-Jones. John Adams told me this week, he did a thing on Adams Inbox on our TV show, In the Pocket, on my VLT, Wednesday nights at 10. John Adams said, you know, he said, Kim Jong-Jones is, I mean, Kim Jong-un, rather, is more offensive-minded than Kim Jong-Jones. And I got to say, I think that's correct. Jerry, as a matter of principle, or as a matter of protocol, or as a matter of just things that are illogical, why would you play the game fast tonight when you have a true freshman quarterback back there if you're Tennessee, Jerry? Why weren't they taking the air out of the ball? Would you please explain that to me?
Well, you asked me to think like Coach Jones, and I think it was about two or three Monday press conferences ago. I think it might have been right before Garen Tunnell's first start, Tony. He alluded to the fact that they needed to get back to, their old selves, meaning that, you know, this slowing down the pace during the first part of the year, occasionally you would see them even huddle up. You heard in his voice that was not the way that he wanted to play. So, you could almost see it coming, the last, game or two, that they were going to start getting back to, going up tempo, whether or not, you know, it was successful, that was a different thing. But you could hear in his voice, that, what we saw early in the first, 60-70% of the games already, that was not the direction that he wanted to go. So you could see whoever he put out there, McBride or Garantano, this slowing down the pace thing was about to cease. But this game here, just, you know, with the front that they had, with us, you know, if we can't keep up and you're really not, scoring touchdowns on defense, you know, be it like pick sixes or, you know, you get a sack, a strip and a fumble, that kind of thing. Or, you know, if you don't have an electrifying kick returner, be it punts or, kickoffs, and you're not getting points from there or change of field position for that matter. You just wonder then how effective is hurrying up? I mean, or should you try to shorten that game and limit the number of possessions per half that a team, obviously, what they just hung 40-something on Florida. What was that, last week?
Yeah.
You just wonder, is that the right approach? I mean, it's obviously with this team, you know, they just can't score enough, in my opinion, to play this team here like that.
Hey, Nathaniel, Jerry coined a phrase early in Butch Jones's tenure. He said, this guy cannot wait to hurry up and run another stupid play. Got to hurry up, Nathaniel. Got to hurry up. You got Will McBride back there. You're not going to protect him. You're not going to take all the time, run the time down off the clock. And then God bless them. Tonight they actually went under center once, Nathaniel. Did you see what happened that time they went under center?
Got crushed.
Yep.
Got freaking crushed.
That offensive line.
You know what?
I mean, it blocked like my immune system used to when I used to get 11 sinus infections a year.
There was a point, Tony, tonight. They had 7 of their 11 players were freshmen out there. They had three on the offensive line. You had Trey Smith, Ryan Locklear, and Devontae Brooks. You had Will McBride at quarterback. You had Ty Chandler at running back. And then you had Jordan Murphy and Josh Palmer at receiver. 7 of your 11 guys were freshmen on the field for one play, at least for a couple of plays in this game. That's just how, I mean, that's how bad it's been. That's how bad the death has been. That's how bad the injuries have been. It's just, it should not be at this point in year 5. It should not.
Hey, Tony?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tony's got a thought. Tony Robinson, go ahead.
I guess
Share the mic.
Our offense is designed on plays. If we run 100 plays a game and we scored 15, 16, 17 points.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm just trying to speed it up. Now, slow it down. Slow it down a little bit. And if we run 60 plays a game and we scored 25, 30 points, mm-hmm. I think we'd be more productive this way. That way, our guys have some gas in the second half.
The
second half of the game, you know. By trying to run all these plays, it's not accomplishing anything.
This imbecile doesn't
learn.
You know
what I'm saying? It's not
hurt quarterback.
Anything.
But all you had a thought about what? Share that with Jerry. I want you guys to go around the round on this, and then we'll go back to the phones.
Now, listen to what I'm saying. Okay, you see what Missouri done to us tonight? they ran a short game on us. They ran that short game on us, man, and I mean, and it opened up their running game. Now, you got a freshman quarterback. In order to protect him, run the short game. The short game. The same thing Missouri done to us tonight. That's what we should have been doing to Missouri, and which will help McBride,
mm-hmm.
and will help our running game.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Because, hey, the same thing they were doing, they made our defensive backs had to make tackles, and we didn't do a good job tackling.
Early in the game, we had a play where we isolated Kelly on their DBs just by getting a quick toss out to him.
Okay,
and you said,
yeah.
Why don't we go back to that more? Jerry, you know, what say you? T-Rob's got
Jerry,
some good points here. T-Rob's bringing it.
You know, Jerry, he's an inexperienced quarterback. First year, you know, I mean, a couple starts here. Now, he drops back. He looks down the field, and he turns to Kelly, who's one of our best offensive players. No, you know what I'm saying? I have no problem with that. You look down the field, you turn, you dump it off to Kelly,
yep.
who's one of your best offensive players in the open field, okay? Where he can catch the ball and he can see what's in front of him. Great. I loved it. I loved it. You know what I'm saying?
Why can't they go back to
that? That is how you protect Kelly. I mean, McBride. That's how you protect McBride. Short game, and it opens up our running game. The same thing Missouri done to us tonight. And you see what their running game was like. They went through us like we weren't even there, man.
Wow.
You know?
Jerry, your thoughts on what Tony Robinson just brought to the table?
Yeah, Tony, you started early in the season, especially the Florida game. Our wide receivers, Tony, they had several key bust. A lot of people don't even know that. Every single one of them, Callaway, I think Josh Smith's first game returning, Palmer, Johnson, that series of three or four plays, I think where we hit the pass to Callaway, he gets it down to the half yard line. Those next three plays, I think we had Callaway and Palmer in the game for the next three plays it was. And they pretty much busted some sort of assignment on all three next plays. Thus, we didn't end up getting a touchdown. But the point that Tony is making is this. When you have young guys in there, Tony B and Nathaniel, man, it is worth it to just slow down, have the guys in the huddle, call the play slow twice. And sometimes, and if you've ever been in the huddle, you understand what Tony Robinson and I are saying. When you're in the huddle, there's a lot of chatter because one guy can go, hey, you got the so-and-so. Hey, you got the so-and-so. But when you have one guy on one side of the field, say Palmer, you have Johnson on the other side of the field, I'm thinking a lot of times those guys don't always know. They're trying to go so fast. What veteran can look over there, hey, you got so-and-so. Hey, you got so-and-so. Make sure you get blah, 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 blah. Those intricate details of every play that a young group of wide receivers, especially the wide receivers, they're just not getting each time a play is called. And to me, that's where you could have the value of somebody just looking them right in the eye and telling them exactly what the hell to do. And because that's my concern. Either they're not getting a signal yep. or they don't have that constant reminder every single play from a veteran right beside them. When you know they need that. You know they do.
This player development, Tennessee guys,
it
ain't there.
I'm going.
T's had enough of that shit. Well, he just threw his headphone down. Well, that was fun for him. Let's go back to our phones. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. Let's get our next call in on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome in.
T-Rob, Tony B.
Hey, what's up, brother? And you got Jerry Colquitt and Nathaniel.
Nice. Great to see you guys at Beard and Fieldhouse Social tonight.
Great to see you, brother. Great to see you up at Beard and Hill Fieldhouse.
Justin.
It was awesome.
This is old Justin Denny.
Yes, sir.
Jerry, it was good to talk to you the other day about the JFK documents that were released. That was a lot of fun.
Oh man, that was next level. That was next level. NECKS, as Tony B would say.
Hey, I'll keep this short and off that goofball from Arizona that wants to talk about Justin Fuente by Georgia Tech today. That'd be a terrible hire. So I'm currently, Tony, I'm currently sitting in my driveway. I've been sitting here for about 2 hours because Butch Jones football makes you do stupid things and crazy things. So I decided to contact the non-emergency Knox County Sheriff line and tell them that I wanted to report a crime. And that, they said, okay, we'll go ahead. And I said, I'd like to report the fact that Butch Jones has stolen a substantial amount of money from the University of Tennessee and the county and city. And I'd just like to report that. And, dispatcher said, where we take false reports very seriously. I said, oh, contraire, this is not a false report. This is actual truth. I said, this is actual truth. And, so they told me about 2 hours ago they were sending an officer out this way. So I decided to take a lawn chair and just sit in my driveway and wait on them. So you have to hear or see anything on that front.
Wow. Wow.
But I'd prefer for them to hurry up because I don't want to go to bed and then knock on the door to wake me up.
Wow.
So if they're listening, or if Marcos Garza is still awake and listening, I think we have a great case. I think we have a great case, Marcos, because I believe that we can prove the fact that this man has stolen money from the University of Tennessee.
Wow. That guy, Nathaniel, it is sad, man, what this guy has done in year five, isn't it? It's incredible, really, how low this thing has gone.
Taking the program to new lows in year five. That's exactly how you wanted the season to go.
And here's the thing about Butch Jones. This is the thing, Justin, that I don't understand about what the powers that be did. If they pull the plug on him a month ago, it keeps him from getting exposed. He can get another job. Who is hiring Butch Jones after this? Who's hiring him? Who would have him?
I think maybe Daniel Boone High School up outside of Johnson City.
Exactly.
They've been real bad for years, so they would totally accept more failed years.
Yes. Yep.
I'll tell you what, if they had fired him after the Georgia game, I wouldn't be sitting here with potential frostbite on my toes. I have flip-flops on.
So you're literally sitting out there waiting for the po-po to come.
Well, he said, they were pretty adamant that somebody was coming out here. I tend to believe them.
Well, I just want to remind you that you can find Marcos Garza at GarzaLaw.com. Before you say guilty, say Garza.
Absolutely.
Keep him in mind.
I think the officer will be, hopefully he's a sportsman, he'll just be like, you know, you're right. I'll tell him you aren't here.
Well, he'd probably agree with you, you know. Say, hey, I'm sitting on the couch, I'm listening to Basilio tonight, or sitting out here in a lawn chair, and I'm trying to remain sane.
Have a good night.
See you, brother. 865-200-5402. See, Nathaniel, that's the kind of stuff that happens when your team is falling on the when your team is falling into the abyss, as they
that was
are.
Incredible story. I hope that guy is doesn't get arrested.
I hope he does get arrested. It makes for a better story in 20 years. Terroristic threats and wasting the police time. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on your Garza Law Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
I'm sorry,
how you doing?
Well, y'all know we all tired of Butch Jones. There's no standing. I just wanted to ask about a couple players.
Go ahead.
Josh Palmer, mm-hmm. Colton Jumper, mm-hmm. and Abernathy. I'm watching the game, mm-hmm. and, like, Abernathy was trying to strip the guys. I'm like, bro, just bring him to the ground. Colton Jumper overruns every play. He's there. He breaks down, but he just can't make the tackle. And Josh Palmer, he caught, like, two passes all year. I don't understand.
Poor Josh Palmer looks so good in spring practice, though. I'll never forget, Nathaniel, the video that you guys shot of him in practice. You guys had me salivating over him, Nathaniel, back in the preseason. That poor kid could not catch a cold in a room full of sick kids.
But I wanted to say the same thing.
We got a lot of guys that are like that, though. And about Colton Jumper Easy, because that's Jerry's pet project. Jerry loves him some Colton Jumper. And Jerry, I say the hashtag white middle linebackers lives matter. So
that's,
go
that's,
ahead.
That's not the case, because there's some good white middle linebackers. Don't tell me that. And Colton's just not one of them.
Jerry thinks he is. Jerry, he...
Just because he could call out the defense. What defense was he calling out? Because obviously they ran the ball straight up the middle, and Abernathy whiffed on the play like four times. So what? How is he so cerebral? He can't. What people are he putting in the right place? Why can't we run?
No, your point though is well taken. In that, at times tonight, our rush defense looked like they were playing touch football out there. Did we get a uniform dirty tonight, guys? And I'm not trying to be funny when I say that. Jerry, did you think the same thing? The way Missouri ran us over, that was scary. That was Missouri, guys. That wasn't Alabama. That was damn Missouri. They were a four-win football team.
And looked like Alabama. It looked like Georgia. I mean, this game had a lot of the same elements of that the Alabama and Georgia games. And the difference in that is that those are two top 10 teams. And Missouri had the same record as Tennessee coming into this game, 4-5. They had one conference win.
Amazing.
Heading into this game. And like you said, I mean, there's just so many. Colton Jumper just completely whiffed on that screen pass.
Oh.
As you mentioned, Mike Abernathy trying to strip the ball as opposed to actually make a tackle. It was just the fundamentals are lost on this team, it feels like.
That defensive effort tonight, guys. Jerry, what did you think of that defensive effort tonight if you were breaking that film down to those kids?
Again, Tony, we've been talking about this for a really long time now this season on defense. The personnel decisions don't make sense. Okay. You know that Rashawn Golden is your best defensive back, arguably the best defensive player on that football team. He's very versatile. He can tackle in space. He can cover. He's got a little bit more length to him than the other guys. He can do a whole lot of things. So if this isn't Abernathy's first game where he's been struggling, why can't you put him back at safety and then put the other kid, move one of those other guys inside? Who's number 15's name? Somebody help
Schamberger.
Me with him. Yeah, put Schamberger in at corner. Move Rashawn Golden back to safety.
Yeah,
because you can't keep putting Abernathy in those positions if he's not going to make the play.
Poor guy.
You know a guy like Rashawn Golden. He can make that tackle in space. When that run comes at him, and he's trying to feel that run lane, Tony, boom. Rashawn Golden makes that tackle probably 8 out of 10 times.
To our caller, you know what the curiosity is going to be next year is when they finally get coaches that understand how to use their talent. And we're going to see how many players we had. And then we're going to think about the last couple of years. And we're going to think about the tremendous season that you're seeing the kid in New Orleans turn in and how he hardly touched the ball at Tennessee. And I'll say this, though. There are some guys who have been warriors on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And speaking of warrior tonight, for him to have the presence of mind to taunt that guy on the way to the end zone tonight. I mean, if you're going to play on a really terrible football team, have fun doing it.
Yep.
And God knows he's had to run enough guys down from behind, and he's thinking, you know what, we're not going to score at all in this game. I watched our offense play all year. I'm going to make this damn thing count. I'm taunting this dude on the way into the end zone. I thought
that was
so
his first
next
pick,
level.
Right?
Yeah, it was his first, yeah. And how good, Jerry, were his wheels in the open field? I mean, they ought to give him a chance to do something. I'm not kidding,
exactly.
Guys.
Did he not look just like his dad, Tony,
on a kickoff return?
Yes, he did look like his dad.
Or interceptor return.
He looked like his dad.
Yeah, because what Dale would do, the way Dale would go into the end zone, he would always do it with some sort of flash or some sort of flare.
Yep.
I mean, that one kickoff return he had against Florida, where he just kind of he knew that he was running so fast that everything that you try to do still wouldn't allow you to make a tackle on him before he got to the end zone, and he just wanted to make you look like you almost had him while he just kind of stuck that ball out across the end zone there to add a little flair to it. I loved it. I thought that was awesome.
I thought it was hilarious. And to our caller, again, one great thing, and Nathaniel, this is the thing I wonder about, is how many guys Butch Jones has wasted either with his his duplicity or just being complicit in his stupidity. But there's always something with Butch Jones. He loves to accuse people of drama and the media of drama, and he's the biggest drama creator there's ever been. And the way they play favorites with players, the way guys play that have no business playing because he makes promises or he just gets things in his head, and the way he messes with people, and it just all crashed down on him tonight. I wrote on the blog this week that that was a game that could happen in, and it kind of went the way I thought it would go. I mean, in the second half, that air was out of that balloon. It was absolutely out of that balloon. Hey, appreciate the call, man. Thank you. And that's the
Tony,
thing. Yeah, go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, and the whole linebacker thing. So we've also touched on this.
Mm-hmm.
If you plan, what, 90 of this game anyhow, because of who Missouri puts on the field, if you end up playing almost 100% of the snaps in nickel defense, mm-hmm. no one ever said put Colton Jumper out there with Dante Staff.
Mm-mm.
No one ever said that. The two best guys by far are Jumper and Batuli.
Yep.
We've said a million times Dante Staff cannot play linebacker and nickel defense. He's not physical enough, period. But they always, when they do have him out there, they'll always take either Jumper out,
yep,
or Batuli, and they'll leave Staff in there. And that's not what anyone's talking about. Put your two best guys out there, the two most physical guys, because if you notice, Dante Staff has no ability to come downhill and play gap integrity in nickel defense. He's just too light in the behind. It's just not a shot at him.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't have the size to do that. And they constantly keep throwing him out there in nickel defense. Meanwhile, they don't have the combination of Batuli and Jumper out there at the same time. To me, that is absolutely goofy.
And they continue to do that. And that's a hallmark of this staff, isn't it, Nathaniel? The way they screw around with their groupings and they just don't correct things on either side of the football. It's weird.
Yeah, they misuse players on both sides of the ball all the time. It's usually an offense, but yeah, defense this year, it's been, I can't believe they haven't played Batuli enough. And it's been outstanding. Or I guess it's been astounding, not outstanding.
Yeah, it's been disgraceful, actually. Somebody said we need some Mega Mass 5000 for our offensive line. Jerry, what from the Alex Jones collection could the offensive line use? They could use some Mega Force, what's it called, the something shield?
No, that's for thyroid. I would have them on that whey protein that you get on there, and the caveman. But really, somebody needs some brain force, because Tony, again, I don't think it's necessary. Those guys, Tony, as soon as they come out the room, Tony, those guys are born to hit somebody in front of them. But the kind of ball that they play, you know, they're always in a 2-point stance, or, you know, everything's always some sort of pass pro set. Man, have those guys come off in a traditional 3-point stance and knock the crap out of somebody before they do anything else. Let them get going. You know, a big guy wasn't meant to do a pass protection set. He was meant to come off and hit somebody. Now, I feel like, you know, you got to give those guys a chance to play that way before, especially on the road when you know you got crowd noise issues. Your offensive tackles are going to be late getting off the ball in passing situations. Let them come off and set that tone and set the other tempo first, especially when you got a young quarterback out there who either him or Garantano, they're going to be a half a second late in decision making right now this season anyhow. So
Jerry, somebody just said we're on the march. The air's on the
run
down the field. Let's go back to the phones and get our next call. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in. You're on with a rather amused Jerry Colquitt and the great Nathaniel Rutherford from RTI, who's just taking it all in. He's like, what am I doing in the company of these morons?
It's, man, I've been on the line waiting to get on for about 30 minutes. I've been sitting here laughing my ass off, cowboy. I tell you what.
Love it.
It's been good stuff. I mean, you know, it's bad when I mean, I don't mean to be a grammar Nazi, but Tony, you're over there talking about how'd you pronounce it? Salivating. Or something like that. I think you meant salivating.
I said that on purpose. No, I used to work with a guy. He used to say the word salivitate.
Salivitating.
Yeah, and
good,
it was
yeah.
just awesome. And I made that a part of my vernacular. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Salivitating, my man. Salivitating.
Then I think it was Jerry or one of the guys will sit there and call him Sap, Dante Sap. I'm pretty sure it's Corte Sap, but, you know.
It is, yeah.
This is what happens when you're in a situation that Tennessee's in. You start doing stupid shit like calling the sheriff's department and reporting, you know.
And by the way, the two sheriffs are there. He just checked in on Twitter. The two sheriffs are now there. If you want to follow my Twitter timeline, he's trying to get them to call the program. He's wondering if I have a back line number for the police to call.
Dude, my stomach has been hurting, man. I mean, you know, I appreciate your show, Tony, because it's times like these, this is the only good thing that comes out of it, being able to listen, you know, everyone call in and talk to you, and, you know, it's good, man. I appreciate everything that you do. But anyway, I just wanted to touch on a couple of things. We'll start with the groomers, and I know it's been a you know big topic tonight. And here's my take on that. I do think hiring John Gruden would be a home run in the sense that I think it would be a splash to where we instantly get recruits, like for you know to make a quick turnaround. And I think it would work out for a good 2 or 3 years. But after that, I think it would start to fall off because I just don't think John Gruden has the passion to want to do it consistently every single year. I mean, if he really had the passion for it, I mean, don't you think he would have already been back coaching football by now? I just don't think that he likes the work that goes into it every single year. So, I mean, if you're looking for a quick turnaround for 2 or 3 years, I think, yeah, Gruden's your man. But if you want to be great for the next 10 years, then you go out and you hire Dan Mullen.
Yeah, and that makes people really angry, me saying that. I want a sure thing. We need a sure thing. We need to get this thing stabilized.
Yeah, and it's far from stable right now. And Dan Mullen has proven, you know, over the years, you know, what he's capable of putting on the field with half, not even half the talent that UT, you know, gets every single year. You know, that Mississippi State team, even the team that was on the field tonight, their talent level is not what we have right now, Tony. You know what I'm saying? And that just goes to show you what kind of coach that he truly is. I mean, he is, like you said, down there in basically a dumpster fire and has been, and he continuously keeps putting up, you know, pretty good seasons every single year. And that whole stat about being 215 against, you know, AP ranked opponents, like you said, that's a bullshit stat, man. I mean, when you don't have nobody to work with, I mean, what kind of stats what kind of rankings do you think you're going to end up with? You know, that's just one of those things that when you don't have nobody, what are you supposed to do? You know?
And how many times in those games when both teams are ranked, how many times in those games, do you think that Mississippi State lost a football game as a favorite? I mean, come on. What happens is they creep in the top 25 there, and they're sitting there at 24, and they got to play either Alabama, Auburn, or LSU. That's what those games are. Or that Mississippi team that was better than anybody. I mean, and would beat the shit out of them. What does that prove to anybody? What
exactly.
does that stat mean?
No,
watch tonight's game. I use my eyeball test, right? Did Mississippi State not look really well prepared tonight in that game? I mean, did they not play Alabama toe-to-toe? I think they did.
I mean, that's the best we've seen Alabama get played since the national championship. Nobody has, you know, stood a chance against them since Clemson. And, you know, for him to do what he did tonight was phenomenal. I do think that he should have been more aggressive on that last series. I think he got a little too vanilla with the play calling. I didn't like that last series of play calling at all. I don't know if that's on him or the offensive coordinator. But, you know, I do think that hurt him there. But, I mean, up until that point, they played a fantastic game. I mean, you couldn't have asked for, you know, a better game from a team far less, you know, or far more inferior than what Alabama is. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, like I said, if you want a quick turnaround, I mean, what do you think, Tony? I mean, do you not think that hiring John Gruden would instantly give us, you know, top tier recruits?
It would be
phenomenal.
The energy from it would be phenomenal. The what it would say. I see. I think what it would say would be more powerful than what he would do. People think that it's an immediate national champion. I don't think so. Look at the guy at Michigan. What have they done? He's in year three. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, that's kind of the same thing. Except that guy was more boots on the ground than Gruden is. And that guy's in year three. He had immediate success with somebody else's players. And the longer guys with that personality go, and Gruden has a personality like the dude at Michigan right now, they can't stay in one place too long. That's how those guys are. And the longer they, and people say, well, you're hating. No, I'm just telling the truth. But the immediate impact of it, I would love it. It would be so much fun. It would be great for, I'll tell you what, it'd be great for my business. He would be great for my business.
How long has it been since Gruden coached?
It's only been since, 2004? He's only been out 14 years. Is that right, Fan?
I think it's 2008, possibly. I think it's been 10 years.
Really?
Still,
2008? Let me look that up.
I think. I'll double check that.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up.
Okay. Either way, 14 years, 10 years. I mean, we're talking a decade that he has not coached. And if you really love football, you really enjoy coaching football, I mean, don't you think that he would have, you know, taken a job by now? I mean, to me, that just goes to show that he doesn't like, you know, the work that it takes and the pressure that, you know, comes along with doing it year in and year out. Like, it might be fun to win a few seasons or whatever, but then when things get tough, that, you know, he's not really going to, his heart really isn't going to be into it. And especially in SEC football, where you, like you said, have to continuously recruit all year round. Like, you cannot stop. It is a job that, you know, very few can withstand. So I'm just not so sure that he has the passion or the desire to even want to, you know, do that on a year to year basis. And I know Dan Mullen will and could do that job at a very high level.
No question. Thank you, my friend.
Appreciate it, Tony.
Hey, Nathaniel, go ahead, Nathaniel.
Yeah, he last coached in 2008. That was when his last season with Tampa Bay in the NFL.
U of RTI, give me a final thought, and Jerry and myself will continue the party. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I'm with you in that. I hope. I hope you're right. I think that that there needs to be a change this weekend. I think that there needs to be a change with Butch Jones. I mean, there should have been a change weeks ago, a month ago at this point, but I hope for Vol fans' sake that there is a change this weekend. I'm holding on to the idea that, you know, not going to get hopes up or anything like that. I think he's just going to be here till the end of the season, but maybe there's a change. If not, I guess we're just going to meander through this wilderness for the last 2 weeks, and there eventually will be a decision made, and he's not coming back for 2018. But I think that's for sure at this point. He's definitely not coming back, but I hopefully you're right, Tony. This is embarrassing. The only point it can get lower is if Tennessee does lose the last two games, and it sets historic lows for losses and a winless SEC season. But that's the only way this gets worse. You know, it's not fun, and I don't blame fans for not showing up for the last two games. If they want to do that, that's their prerogative. It's their money. But it's, my goodness, Tony, I hopefully we'll have better news, better things to talk about here in the next couple of weeks, because it's been just, feels like it's just been bad news week in and week out.
Thank you, my man. Good talking to you.
Yeah, thanks, Tony.
Hey, beautiful. Jerry, what would it mean, and then we'll go back to the phones, you as a former player, and Nathaniel did a great job, RockyTopInsider.com. Nathaniel Rutherford, check him out over there. They do a great job. Jerry, what are you saying to anybody paying attention when you let Missouri beat you 50 to whatever it was tonight, and you're only whatever... You had one passing touchdown tonight, which is your first one in, like, the time it happened, it was your first one in 23 quarters. 22 quarters. What is the memo, Jerry, when you're allowing this guy to continue in his job?
What is what? Tony, your question cut off.
What is the memo when you're allowing this guy to continue in his job? Like, say... If you don't get rid of him tomorrow, as you should, as they would at most normal places, what is Tennessee, what would they be saying? I just don't understand what they're doing. Like, aren't you saying it's acceptable if you keep this guy around? Isn't that what you're saying?
I think the first thing they're saying is Tony might be here.
Maybe.
I keep telling you guys, based on the last 3 to 4 years of the turn of events, based on the whole Title IX suit, the cheating scandal, the Bruce Pearl scandal, you have to remember, now if the university had a clean slate and you had none of that go on, then there might be enough backing from the powers that be that could go, hey, we need to wipe our hands clean of this thing and just start from scratch. But when the university has been through, three or four different ordeals, and then you have a whole other element of campus that comes in and they quote unquote clean up the program. Well, guess what? The Doug Dickies of the world or the Philip Fulmers of the world, they're not running the show in terms of what's happening with the football program anymore. So when you think about the fact that Tennessee's been to bowl games the last 3 or 4 years, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm happy with just going to a bowl game, because I went to a Sugar Bowl. I went to a Fiesta Bowl as well. So I can tell you it's a different era, Tony. And, we talk about the John Gruden thing again. I don't know if anybody, there's a competent enough person on campus to even throw that thing together if they try to throw it together.
Yeah.
Let alone get rid of this coach when, there's the buyout and all the other things that we just mentioned. So that's what really worries me at this point, that they haven't done anything that basically looks like, we could be in line for keep keeping them there as far as not making a decision at this point. I think it means that, Coach Jones may be back.
There's no way that happens. But I see your point, which is some juncture you look at it and go, what the hell? I mean, nothing at this point surprises me. I'm not surprised. I'm shocked if Gruden gets hired. Outside of that, any other outcome is not tremendously shocking to me. Like, you could tell me, oh, these guys have decided that it's going to be too expensive to fire Butch Jones after thinking it over overnight. And I'd go, well, okay, what a Tennessee thing to do. I just hope and pray they don't do that to their fan base. I think this is Sunday now. It's 2:21. Within the next 16 hours, I'll predict that you'll have something on Butch Jones. Dino Babers from Syracuse, somebody wants him. I tell you this about Dino Babers. His team plays physical football, and they play hard for him. So I'm getting no argument on Dino Babers. He's not, like, on my top rung. But off the list of the menu and the place where we're going to shop for our groceries, you do a whole lot worse than Dino Babers. In fact, we have with our last two hires. Let's go back to the phones. I want to believe that my alma mater, for once, that the Haslams specifically are at a breaking point and got thoroughly humiliated tonight. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome into our next caller. You're on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hi, Tony. It's Mark in Dallas.
Hey, Mark
for the
in
evening,
Dallas.
It's,
welcome in.
You for got, the evening, it's Mark in Jefferson City, Missouri.
All right, man, you got the great Jerry Colquitt with you as well. Welcome in, man, on the Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction.
It's great to be on with you and your all-star team. This was my third ticket purchased of the season, and if my math is right, in the three games I attended, we were outscored, I believe, 136-24. But I did see an offensive score today, first time in the three games I attended. Wanted to report back a few observations
please, from the stands
tonight.
First of all, how many people were there for the large orange this evening?
We did have a few thousand, far more than the AD and our lead benefactor deserved tonight, but we did have a few thousand there, I think.
Interesting.
The sign of the game, as far as fans holding up signs, like a game day sign, a couple fans had a large sign that said, "Fire Butch Jones." and you know they were holding up throughout, and they went all out. The sign actually pops open. That is, they would curl it open, and there was another sign underneath. It had, in quotes, something like "Saturdays are for the boys," and it was attributed to John Curry, apparently. And then lastly, I had the pleasure of watching the fourth quarter, or sitting through the fourth quarter, with everyone's favorite super fans, the legendary couple that goes to every football and basketball game that's been talked about on your air a few times. Sat right next to them for the fourth quarter, and they are just like us. You know, obviously their loyalty to the Vols, their love for everything Tennessee is unconditional, but I can confirm that they are not part of the segment of our fan base whose unconditional support for the Vols extends to unconditional support for whoever happens to be our coach.
That's awesome.
Not only are they ready to move on from this guy, they've been ready to move on for a long while.
So you're telling me he's lost the Tubbs, because Roger right now, the caller Roger, calls our daily show, he was ready to move on from him, and then he had a softening of his heart. Jerry, are you familiar with the Tubbs? Do you know who the Tubbs are, Jerry?
I don't, Tony.
The Tubbs are those, Jerry, we went and played in Seattle. Did you go?
Gonzaga game?
Yes.
Yeah, I went.
Okay. Did you notice a feller, orange blazer, sitting near courtside, probably checking in at about 375 bills?
I did not. I don't recall that.
He goes to every game. Did they go to last night's game? Did you, Mark?
Yes, confirmed.
Okay. Jerry, they've been known to, at this time of the year, go back and forth between football and basketball, for instance.
Wow.
Let's just say hypothetically the basketball team is playing in a couple weeks, and they are. I don't know if it's it is a Thanksgiving deal. The Tubbs,
yes, they're going to the Bahamas.
They'll go to the Bahamas, and then they'll fly back here to the mainland to watch some really shitty football, and then they'll get back on an airplane and go back to Three Star Heaven and watch some more basketball. And nobody is as dedicated, and nobody's watched more bad revenue-generating sports in person than the Tubbs. I love them. I'm for them. Earl and Judy, they're incredible. They're super fans. Jeeker walked up to him last year in Thompson Bowling Arena and said, "Hey, you're Mr. Tubbs." He said, "That's not my name. I don't know what you're talking about." Jerry, you've seen him. At that game, there's a great story about the Tubbs. I don't know, Mark, if you've heard this, but my friend Christian was at that game. He flew out from Knoxville a couple years ago to see the Zags play out there when they played in Seattle. And he said that Mr. Tubbs was sitting down low in that game, and his wife was up in the third level. They had to split the tickets up. I guess they drew hands, or he just went old school on her, but that's my kind of guy.
The tickets were hard to get, Tony.
They were hard to get, Jerry?
Yeah, the Gonzaga Bulldog fans are crazy.
Okay, there you
crazy.
Go. So Mr. Tubbs was sitting. They're sick of Butch Jones. Are you kidding me?
Tony, if you'll indulge me on this, and then I got to give Earl one story because we picked on him a couple of times for apparent lack of chivalry. So I've got one chivalry moment that I witnessed firsthand that I'll give you in a sec. But if you'll indulge me, if the sky were to fall and we were to keep Jones for next season, I don't want to just direct quote because they're going to be like celebrities, but partial celebrities. But let's just say the sense I got, if Jones is back next year, there is at least some chance, probably small, but some chance that they could literally lose these people from attending games next year.
Oh my gosh!
Seriously, they didn't say that. They said it would be hard. They said it would be hard to go next year.
Butch Jones is the worst, guys. I mean, that he's the worst.
My Earl story, this will be quick. When the tornado flew over the Georgia Dome at the SEC basketball tournament 2008, and they made the 30 for 30 on it, Miracle 3. So I was in there when the tornado flew over the dome. Obviously, they were there, too. The next day, some ball fans were in line to try to get into the Tennessee-Arkansas game at Georgia Tech, mm-hmm. and it was simply a matter of whether or not they had the passes, and if you weren't a family or a friend, you were just hoping they'd give you a pass. I can confirm that Judy walked in first. When they got their hands on one pass, she went in, and he was still standing outside the fence. So. There is that story.
Aww,
you told the story that I didn't know
about. That's a sweet story.
Yeah. He did let her go in first. I wanted to at least get that out there. But
thank you, my friend. Have a great night. That's a great story.
Thank you,
Mark.
Sir.
Thank you, Jerry. You really need to look up. If you looked up on Wiki and you Wikied the Tubbs, you could probably find them. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction. It's only 2:30 in the morning. I'm off the clock now officially. So if you'd like the party to continue, if you want to tip us over at TonyBasilio.com, perhaps the party continues. If not, the party will end. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah, welcome in.
Hey, this is Phil. Maybe I can make you laugh a little bit, but didn't you say that Butch said that there was some gap integrity tonight?
Yes, gap integrity issues got them, especially in the second half tonight.
Well, you remember last year, I don't know, I can't remember if it was this game or the Kentucky game, and he said we didn't keep our eyes on the thighs.
Oh, good night.
And he said something else after that, but I just wanted to bring that up, and I'll get off here.
Butch,
talk to you later.
Thank you. Jerry, what do you think it's like for those players to sit there and listen to that imbecile? That can't be fun, right?
Tony, you have to give a guy some credit. Tonight he was the old Butch Jones, and I've been complaining about that for a while this season, that, you know, I think, last year, obviously, was his most successful season, the most talent he had. And the thing that I've been a little bit disappointed in is I don't necessarily like his persona and coaching style, but at least I thought the last couple of years, the kids kind of fed off of that crazy energy that he's had. And really not until the last half of maybe last week and this game, have you really seen that energy? You almost kind of wonder, for a team that's as young as we are, wouldn't it make more sense for those young kids to see that old Butch Jones personality when they need that energy and that passion and leadership the most? But instead, this year, Tony, it almost seems like he's like he's like, hey, you know, I got this. You know, we're gonna be all right. We need like crazy Butch Jones on the sideline every week, and it just seems like we really haven't seen that until, you know what, like week 8-9 of this season, when the old Butch Jones, when this group of kids might have needed it the most, his young group of kids.
Back to the phones we go. Yep.
You just wonder.
Let's get our next call in if you want to get in. 865-200-5402. Hello to our next caller, Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in.
This is Vass up here in St. Louis.
Hey, man. Great talk to you, brother.
Great talking to you. Great talking to you. Great talking to you, Jerry. And
thank you.
It's a cold, dark night up here in Missouri.
Wow. Can you believe that Missouri program just beat the living shit out of us? When they were dead, and I'm talking about, man, a month ago they were dead in the water. You didn't think in a million years they'd be able to do that to us a month ago, did you?
Yeah, here's the thing, I can. Here's the thing, I can. Because I'm up here, and I grew up here, and, you know, all my friends are big Tiger fans, so I got to hear their shit all the time. And I've the last, and I watch all the Mizzou games and everything, and I watch them with them and stuff. And I've the last month I've made a lot of money off of Mizzou. And hate to say it, but I made money off of them tonight as well. Mizzou is, they have just been beating the dog shit out of people, straight up. And what's funny is tonight, that Lock kid, and someday, and I don't know if he's gonna leave this year. He might leave this year. Who knows what the, Jerry can, you know, speak on this maybe. Hopefully he can, or he will. I know he can, but maybe he will. But to me, I think that this Drew Lock hit is just so good. Now he didn't really show it tonight. He didn't play that good of a game, and which is even more sad on our part that they, as you said, they put a 50 burger on us. But they did that without him really doing much of anything.
Jerry, your thoughts on Locke.
Sorry,
your thoughts on Locke, Jerry, as a pro prospect.
Let's talk about what he can do. I think he really can throw the football. You can see he does have a live arm. He definitely can spin it. My take on some of the offenses that are out there that you see kids like Missouri play in. We have an outstanding guy up here in Tyler Falk at Washington State that plays in another kind of goofy, awkward offense. Is when you go to the league, it's going to be more of a balance. Even though I would say in this day and age, it's probably gone a little bit more towards, you know, what you see in college, but there's still more of a balance, if you guys know what I mean. So you're not going to be playing at that tempo all the time, every single game, no huddle. It's a totally different ball game, and the responsibilities that you have to do. So I'm definitely intrigued by him because you can see that the kid can throw the football, and he, you know, kind of like Josh Dobbs that we had at Tennessee over the last few years. You just wonder, hey, is this guy actually going to get better when he gets in a more traditional offense where he'll be asked to do more things in a more of a balanced approach versus just slinging it all over the field. So if I had to say anything, I feel like really once this guy gets to the league and he gets a little bit better coaching, more of a pro style system, wouldn't surprise me if he actually got better when he got to the league versus while he's at his time at Missouri there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
kid 6'4", guys. The kid's 6'4". Well, no, he's 6'4", Vass, and he's semi-big. I mean, he looks to me like a pro player. Like Jerry said, how do you know in these offenses who can play and who can't? But at the same time, goodness gracious, I mean, tonight, if his receivers didn't let him down and they didn't have a couple holds, they were going to have about 900 yards of offense on us again.
Right. And they did let him down. And you make a good point. What a good segue there because his whole time at Missouri, he hasn't had really a great receiving corps, really even a good receiving corps. But the thing about Locke is, what I see with him is he can make every throw you want him to make. He can make all those throws. Now, he didn't really tonight. You just didn't get the best of him, which is, like I said, it's just, oh my gosh, even more an indictment on us. And it's just sad that they still were able to put a 50 burger. Coach, I love that. Burger, I love that. Oh, I'm pretty drunk.
Like 50 burgers too. I just don't like them being put on my football team.
No, I don't. I don't. They were still able to do that, and he just he was not that good tonight. And even more so, they don't have that Crockett kid. they don't have the Crockett kid. Can you imagine if they had Demarie Crockett playing tonight? Oh, my gosh. Because those two running backs they had tonight, they have Fish, Witter kid, and I don't know, the other one, like, they're okay, but they're serviceable. That's, like, that's their label to me, is they're serviceable, and that's it. They're not that good. The Crockett kid is one of the better backs in the SEC. I mean, he's a real deal, Holyfield.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Missouri tonight didn't need any help. You know, goodness gracious. I mean, they smashed us. It was a semi-game, a few minutes, and the only reason it was is because they were not sharp early. If they're sharp early, that's a kill job. That game is a freaking kill job if they're sharp or early. But listen, man, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Tone. Thank you, Tone.
Appreciate you, brother. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you, Mark. Man.
Thank you, brother. 865-200-5402.
Tone, I think it was that kid's last TD pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're looking at the TV screen, them going from left to right, I think it was the last one that he threw. Tony, that was an NFL throw where he throws it into the end zone. The kid's running to the sideline, and he put that ball where either his guy or no one was going to catch it. That kid tapped his feet right on the boundary right there before he became out of bounds. Touchdown. I mean, that was an absolutely beautiful throw. And you can see right there, I mean, just he threw that thing on a doggone rope. Whether his guy was going to catch it or no one caught it, his guy caught it, tiptoed in there, actually got both feet in the ground, a touchdown. That was an awesome throw. And you could just see, you know, what this guy, Mark, is talking all about.
Oh.
Just in terms of his overall ability.
Oh, come on, he's big time. I mean, he's just big time. And with our secondary, and the lack of people in space. I mean, here's the thing about it. The guy had, pick your score, man. They could have done it any which way. They could have done it any which way they wanted to. Back to our phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, welcome in. Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, this is Blanded.
Hey,
I
man.
Just wanted to let you know, we drove up from Little Rock to the game tonight.
Oh, wow.
And then afterwards, you know, we were waiting for the team to come out. And John Curry walked by, you know, all the administrators walked by. Everybody got on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Butch came out, someone in a suit him and guided him to the right. And they walked him out of the stadium. He did not get on the bus. I don't know what that means. You know, I was just standing there, and then all the buses honked their horns, and all five buses pulled out. And Butch was going up the side of the stadium with someone in a suit.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Can you describe what the person in the suit looked like?
It was just a suit guy. You know, it wasn't nobody I recognized. I saw Curry was one of the first ones out. And I said, hey, Mr. Curry, and he nodded at me. And then he walked on. He was carrying a salad. And then everybody else came out carrying pizzas. And they loaded up all the buses. Evan Berry and John Kelly took pictures with my daughter. And then, like I said, they started honking the horn.
Nice of those
and
guys.
Butch came out. And like I said, he was walking toward the bus, it seemed. And then someone in a suit come up to him. And they took a hard right. And they walked right down the stadium.
Okay, so hang on. So it looked like Butch was making his way toward the bus, right?
Yes, sir.
How long after the game would this have been?
Oh, we were out there. Me and my daughter was the last ones to leave the stadium. She will not leave until everyone's gone. I mean, it was like 2.5 hours, maybe.
Wow. So this would
maybe
have been,
an hour,
this
maybe
would
an
have been,
hour and a half.
This would have been, so 90 or so minutes. Let's say it's approximately 90 minutes. Let's just, sometimes memory's foggy, you know, so let's just shave 15 minutes either way. Let's say it's an hour and 15 minutes, okay? And this is what I'm getting at. His media responsibilities would have already been over by that point in time. And so I wonder if maybe that was either a personal friend was there to meet him, or maybe they grabbed him. Because he did do his locker room deal. Did he do a TV show? No, he didn't do a TV show. He does his TV show in Knoxville. That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought so.
That's a little tidbit you gave me there.
Another thing was my daughter also found the envelope that they pass out to the players.
Right.
And it had like $300 and an airplane ticket in it. So we picked that up and she obviously returned it. And the guy was actually a jerk that she gave the money to. So that's just basically what's going on over there. It's just bad all the way around.
Wow.
One of the players dropped their per diem, I guess. I don't know. You know, he dropped a little manila envelope. It had like $200 or $300 bills in it. We found it, turned it in. Then, like I said, we waited. Butch come out, took about 10 steps. Somebody grabbed his right arm. They made a hard right turn and kind of stayed right by the stadium. And then me and my daughter and another couple followed them. And then they just went on around where you couldn't go any further and disappeared. We couldn't go back after that. It was fenced off.
You're a tea leaf reader. You sound like a pretty smart man. Did it look to you like Butch was done?
Yes.
Yeah. I just get the sense that from people I've talked to, that this is it tonight. That's it for him.
I also have a video in the beginning of the game when he went on the field for warm-ups. He was walking off, you know, coming back to the locker room before they do the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his head down. And I actually have this video. I said, "Get your head up, coach." And he, like, raised his head up and then pointed at me, which, I mean, it don't mean that. I'm sure he was in deep thought before the game, but just even his body language beforehand, shoulder slumped, head down, walking back, just didn't look good. I told him to get his head up. And he pointed at me and got his head up.
Yeah, people are doing that to me right now on Periscope. I just blocked two people. So.
No, that was weird, Tony, about just, again, we talked about I admit, I was joking. I was calling him low energy Butch. But, right. But I was saying that, and that, you know, we know people from over there on campus listen to this show. But I'm saying that not to make fun of him. It's almost to send a message. Hey, man,
no.
This young team needs every ounce of energy that he has. So, you know, when you talk about, well, what this call is talking about, or just the lack of just his sideline presence this year, that is not what this current 17 football team needs. This football team needs a coach over there cracking the whip, because it's just what it requires. And you just wonder what is going on with him. Either is if he is coming back, and they've told him he's coming back, has it just gotten to him to the point where he just has nothing left? But you do just see a different Butch Jones than what you've seen in the last years, and to me it's kind of concerning.
Well, he's told a couple people this week. This past week, that he wanted another year, and part of his plan that he was laying out, it was, hey, look, I'm a new, kinder, gentler, more calm guy. Look at me. I've grown. Look at the way I'm behaving in press conferences. Look at the way I'm not talking as much. Look at all these things, and he's actually acting like an adult now, which is quite a concept. The truth, though, is that, you know, you're only in year five and you're at the end of year five. I think you kind of should have learned by now. But, hey, look,
or just,
man,
be you.
Or
you,
just
you know
be
what I mean?
You.
Like,
yeah,
if,
and if you're,
if,
yeah.
Yeah, if being the Butch Jones
is
very aggravating to us or we don't quite like, man, who cares? If it got you your 9 wins last year, then do it every single time. That's the part that's also goofy. Like, just be you. I mean, they hired you. for the guy you were. So, like, why are you going to change coming off your best year? I mean, be that same person.
Let's go back to the phones.
It's just crazy.
I just want to address one thing. I blocked a couple people on Periscope here in the last little bit. It's 2:45, 2:48. I'm not going to put up with your bullshit. I'm just not. I mean, it's late. I'm an adult. I'm a grown-ass man. And I generally am pretty tolerant. However, I'm not going to sit around and listen to your shit. I don't do that to you. I don't come into your spot and do that in your face, and you're not going to do it in mine. Do we got that? Good. And by the way, I'm also not going to sit there and let you berate other people that are in my room. Do you have that? Good. Now let's go back to the phones. And get our next call in. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony. How's it going?
Hey, doing well.
Long-time listener. Always on mute. Like, you know, you're the voice of the common fan.
We try, man. We try.
Did you happen to catch the article ESPN about Gary Patterson? Did you read that article?
Yeah, it was basically talking about what we've talked about on here for years. I don't know if you've heard us tell that story, but it was crazy, man.
I mean, you know, the part that really got me is that he knew. He said in the first few minutes of that interview, he knew that their decision was already made up, you know, against him, you know, and I'm wondering if we're sitting here with Curry, are we sitting here with Hamilton part two? I mean,
sure.
You know, I just, it's almost like we need somebody with vision in this program, for this football program. We need vision again. You know, we need a guy like Peyton to step in some type of role. I know he'll never coach, but, you know, I know he bleeds orange. He loves his program. We need somebody with vision in this football program to get somebody. We're and act like we're an elite program because we are. We've always been an elite program.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. And I love your passion, even at this late hour, because here's the truth. There's too much politics going on. See, I thought Manning was going to be the guy to rescue this deal, make a strong suggestion, and maybe he still will be the guy. But here's the problem. He wants to be involved in the NFL. Who's his entree to the NFL? Jimmy Haslam. Well, then that locks him down. See, that's how this stuff works. People say, well, you're being a conspiracy theorist. Actually, no. That's how the world works. That's how this works. That's how it works.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, there's a thought out there he's going to go with the Browns, or there's a thought out there he's going to end up maybe in an ownership group one day with the Titans. The thing is that the Gary Patterson article talked about a story that I've talked about for years and nobody believed me, which is Gary Patterson told a friend of mine, a young guy who was a young guy, who's not a young guy anymore, but he's a guy with a family. R.J. Choppy's his name. He works in Dallas. And R.J. had a dual role when he first took a job at a radio station. He's now a morning show host at a station. And he's doing very well. I'm proud of him. But R.J. was told that by Gary Patterson. He saw him one day and he said, R.J., Tennessee guy, my Tennessee guy. Yeah. He was covering TCU and the Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys. And RJ and Gary Patterson said, hey, RJ, come here, man. He said, if I see your boy Mike Hamilton out, I'd like to whip his ass. And RJ said, huh? And he said, yeah. He said, you know, just between me and you, I went for the Tennessee job. And they gave it to that punk Lane Kiffin. And these were his words. He said, but and then I asked him, why? Why would you choose him over me? And Mike Hamilton said to Gary Patterson, well, we kind of think you're a mid-major coach.
Wow.
And that's what he said in that article. And, you know, here's the thing. you do that enough, you have that type of management enough, and you'll be in a spot where you are currently one of, well, you're the only team in this league that has a losing streak to everybody in the league that exists. And you know what else? And you know what else? They almost had a losing streak to one of the X teams in the league in Georgia Tech. They could have pulled the nearly impossible if they would have lost to Tech like they should have. Looking back on that game, that was a miracle they didn't lose that game. Am I lying?
You're not. And you know, and right now, what are we sitting with? We're sitting with a Chippewa head coach.
Exactly,
you know,
what he is.
But, you know, because in my opinion, you know, we're just riding on Kelly's players at Cincinnati. So, you know, his success came a lot from there. So,
yep.
You know, and if we had Patterson now, I think we'd be sitting a lot prettier. We wouldn't have been going through the Dooley and the Nazi. Remember the Nazi story? Oh, that was classic.
Oh, he was so mentally ill, man, that guy, that poor guy.
But you know what's scary is I almost want to say that he is a little bit better of an X's and O's coach than Butch.
Hey, Jerry, is Dooley a better football coach than Jones in game?
Maybe not game time decisions.
Jerry, what do you think? Jerry's he better?
That's just such an unfair question, Tony.
What does that mean? Why is that unfair? It's not unfair at all.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay. If Chaney is having a tough day calling plays, or if Larry Scott is having a tough day calling plays, which head coach can take over their OC from calling the plays?
Probably neither of them.
That's why I said it's an unfair question.
How do we hire head coaches that aren't coordinators? Like, who does that besides us? Because they interview well. And that's what the Haslam said about both guys. But they interview well. Like, what the hell are you doing? Are you hiring somebody to be a salesman? This is not that hard. You see what I'm saying, guys?
Yeah, and, you know, Jerry made a good point about how the players, you know, at first, well, and they even this year, they still played hard for Butch, you know? But
they
the thing is, though, if you can't develop player, I mean, who have we seen develop? Here, Kongbo came in as a junior college transfer.
He's nice supposed player.
To, you know, he hasn't developed him not one bit.
No.
He's nice Jeff
player.
George is another one.
Nice,
I mean, there's
nice
so
one.
Many players that have not been developed. At all.
I love,
know?
Hey, you know what I love about Kongbo tonight? He actually drew a holding penalty. I thought the damn stadium was going to collapse when that happened, when he beat that tackle. Poor guy. So bad. Hey, listen, man. Thank you, brother. Great talking to you.
Great talking to you, Tony. See you, Jerry. Take care.
That's a lot
thank
of fun.
Thank you, too.
Jerry's a lot of fun tonight. I hope this is our final day of Butch Jones, and we're living in it. Jerry, give me a final thought. Love you.
Wow, man, it's been a interesting turn of events just the last 2 weeks. I'm not gonna believe it till I see it, man. And you can hear the guys too. I don't know. I think you might have been in the car, Tony, driving back the last 5 to 10 minutes of the game. But I started getting the feeling, and you know those ESPN guys, you know they got to hear all the rumors about the coaching changes and carousels, so on and so forth. And they were on there talking more about rebuilding. You know, they like what what they had in place coming back for next year with Garantano, yada yada yada. It was the sentiment that I got from the Rogers kid and the other announcer was that he's coming back and it was all about rebuilding for 2018 instead of, you know, change for 2018. So it'll just be really interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks.
You know, it's funny. It's an interesting point you bring up about the kids on this team. You haven't seen a lot of Al Wilson type of, or dare I even say Tim Tebow type of, fist pounding and kids saying this is not acceptable and I didn't come here to lose games and I'm a senior, damn it, we're missing a bowl game and It's almost like there's a cold resignation to, well, you know.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Hey,
it's weird.
If you're Rashawn Gordon, at one point, do you almost do it intentionally? Again, not to throw your teammate under the bus in terms of, it's not personal, but
yeah,
man, you got to, in the media, go ask guys like Abernathy making tackles in space. You know, he's too good of a player to always be chasing a guy on the way to the end zone. Say something like that. I guarantee you, a credible guy like that, he'll get the attention of his teammates. But I totally agree with you. What offensive lineman is going down there during the middle of a game looking at Butch and go, Butch, forget passing, run the football. Run the football. I guarantee you, the players around him will respond to that sort of, I guess that's challenging your coach, it's challenging your fellow teammates in a good way.
I guess my point, though, is I'm just talking about in the press just coming out tonight and going, you know, what we've left here is a shit stain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not acceptable.
Yep.
But yet you don't hear any of that. That's why I started, I'm going to end where I started tonight. And I don't know if you heard the beginning of me when I came on after coming back from Bearden Hill Fieldhouse, but
the Rocky music was beautiful, by the way.
Why don't we just take Tennessee football, and if we're going to do what we're doing, turn it into upward football. Don't keep score. Everybody feels good at the end. You know?
Hey, Tony, while you close this out, I want you to do one thing, man. Play that Rocky music while me and you talk here in the next 2 minutes.
You want some diamond? I need you to talk about your diamond gusset jeans here on the way out.
Man, that was so beautiful. I was like, man, he is getting me fired up. You can't win!
Let me see how I'll do that.
Tone?
Yeah, man.
Hey. I'm totally with you. Just, you're going, where's the leadership? Man, start calling dudes out in these press conferences. It is not, especially, you know, if you're a senior, you know, bowl games, thing like that, like who's going, hey, we can't be sitting at home.
Thank you.
In December. Like,
this
is crazy.
Thank you.
It's crazy. And no one is, and you know, they get on John Kelly for, you know, every now and then showing some emotional, maybe emotion, maybe not necessarily the correct way, but damn, the guy played his behind off the first three or four games, got zero out of it. He is not the problem. Get out of his face, Coach Jones. Go down there and get it in somebody else's face on that sideline. He is not the issue. So it's just tough to see for those guys because, man, they're going to mess around and be sitting home in December if they're not careful. I know, you know, they lowered the standard just to go to a bowl game, but they're close to being home, just missing that thing altogether. There's no way you can lose to Vanderbilt. There's no way.
Now, here's your
you can't do it.
Here it is, Jerry.
For the ball fans for a quarter century.
There
ladies
it is.
And gentlemen, Mr.
I
Tony
to replay
Basilio.
The intro. Let me know what I'm so fried right now.
I mean, what do you think is happening in somebody's war room right now, Tony?
What's going on in the war room right now, Jerry? Talk to me.
What are the minds talking about right now, Tony?
I'd say right now, Jerry, as we speak, Mr. Haslam's holed up. He's got himself a shot of something really strong and probably rather expensive. Maybe some Metamucil. One glass. Gotta stay constant. He's got some Metamucil in one glass. and they're saying the same thing.
I tell you what, Tony.
How do I get to the top of those steps without my hips beginning to hurt? Can we make Tennessee great again?
Now we need to get some orange and white caps that fit that big old square head and that goofy old looking brim that says, make Tennessee orange again, baby. Orange and white.
Jerry, we have got to believe that today is the day.
I love this music, man.
Today is the day that we will go on as one. We're going to make Tennessee great again. We're going to make Tennessee great. We're going to own it. We're going to be there. We're going to get to the top of the mountain, Jerry, and when we do, I'm going to be there with you, baby. Love you. God bless. Go Vols.